If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, listen up. I don't like white people.
Rodney on the Rock, and I want a hand of applause for yourselves. How about a hand for our K-Rock listeners? Now, this is rock and roll, definitely. This is the way rock has always been, through the rain, sleet, or snow.
I don't know what you're on, but you better get to the point and quick.
This is so Godhead, it's not even funny. This is beyond amazing.
Dynamite drop in. My broadcast school has really paid off.
This is retarded.
Hello. Oh my goodness. Hello. Ew. Strawberry.
If you and Steven had babies, they'd be so good looking. They would.
Because Steven's all tan.
Don't have sex, because you will get pregnant and die. Don't have sex in the missionary position. Don't have sex standing up. Just don't do it, promise?
And now, I'm not telling.
Our feature presentation.
5:30 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ. And today is Monday, the 27th of Blovember. Kevin, what are you doing?
5:30 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, no, sir, turn down your radio, sir. If you're on the radio, turn down your radio, sir. Oh, God.
Hello?
Am I on?
Turn down your radio.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Okay,
are you a first-time caller? Long-time listener?
First-time caller. I haven't really listened ever before either.
Yeah. What's the deal?
Dude, you had this long weekend to rest and relax. Get back on your game.
Here's the deal. When it rains, people slow down. Now, they're not following the Kevin and Bean plan, which is if you go faster, you're out on the road for a shorter amount of time.
It's like misting, Kevin.
And so it's much safer that way because you're not at risk for that long.
Right, Lisa, that's what they teach you in traffic school, is you go as fast as possible if the roads are slick.
Yes,
right?
Hydroplaning gets you there sooner and safer.
That's exactly. The other point. Hydroplaning does actually get you better gas mileage, which helps the economy and the ecology. So that's
even Al Gore would endorse that.
Yeah, that's correct.
Once Absolutely. Again, really just misting, not so much raining.
That's what I'm saying. Why do people have to go 30 when it's misting?
But it's all their fault.
Here's what I don't understand. Producer Lightning, Psycho Mike, Lisa May, Omar, they all drove in and it was misting out, yet they all got here at the regular time.
Well, no, I know that, but none of them count on being able to go a little faster to be here on time.
That's twisted logic. You know that?
Yeah, it sure is.
Well, I just came from the Hollywood Christmas Parade last night, which was spectacular.
Oh, I can't wait to hear about it. I regret that I can't see the Hollywood Christmas Parade. It really is one of my favorite events every year.
Yeah, what do they call the head guy, the person?
Grand Marshal?
Yeah, the Grand Marshal, yeah. I think that was the guy that dresses up like Frankenstein out in front of the Chinese theater.
Really?
I think that was him this year, yeah. They're actually unable to get anyone in the field of entertainment anymore.
Oh, that's sad.
It used to be the Hollywood Christmas Parade, which they have the Sunday after Thanksgiving every year and foul up all the traffic in Hollywood for an afternoon. It used to be the biggest stars. I mean, that was where your Humphrey Bogart and people like that were in the parade. And then gradually they just got further and further away from that. And now it's like, you know, the third kid on Home Improvement that hasn't been on the air in 10 years. It's that sort of thing now. It's really kind of sad. But I don't even know if we'll have time for that today because we've got too much show. I mean, we're jam-packed today.
We actually do. And one of the things that I'm really looking forward to is Psycho Mike and some of the guys on the station on the morning show actually went to a Kevin Federline show on this past Wednesday night.
God bless them.
Psycho Mike, is this the last Federline show? Is he done now?
I don't know what his tour plans are, but it might as well should have been his last show. That's all I have
really?
To say. Yeah.
I got the impression from your email where you were squealing like a little girl that it was maybe one of the best things you've ever seen in person in your whole life ever.
It was one of the best things I've ever been to, and Omar is the best person ever in the world ever.
Oh, no.
That's all there is to it. Omar is king.
Here's the thing about Omar. He was planning on going to this show, and they were so excited to go see the Federline show that Omar was predicting beforehand that he was going to get drunk and do something crazy because he was so looking forward to it. When Omar drinks, it's over.
Yes.
I know we make jokes about him all the time, but that's why we do it, because when he drinks, he is a crazy man. And to be at a Kevin Federline show with Psycho Mike and just screwing around and yelling and mocking him and everything else, I cannot wait to hear the highlights of that.
Let me put it this way. Dave, the King of Mexico, was our voice of reason. He was the guy who was like trying to restrain everything. Like, no, we shouldn't do that, guys.
That's going too far. That's dangerous. Dave, wow. So did you heckle him? Was he aware that you were there?
Why don't we just wait to the break? There's too much good stuff. I just don't want to spill any of this beauty.
That's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour this morning, so I cannot wait to hear the highlights. I was so dying. I wanted to go so bad, but we were leaving town on Wednesday before that, so I can't wait to hear the highlights of that show.
Now, do you have a good stereo system in your car so you'll be able to hear those highlights?
Hang on, let me check. Just one second, okay? So I cannot wait to hear the highlights. I was so dying. I wanted to hear that, but we were leaving.
Turn your radio down. That's right. How about the rest of the crowd, Psycho Mike? Besides you guys who went there to make trouble, did you sense that a lot of other people in the audience were there just to laugh, or were they there seriously?
Oh, yeah. There was plenty of people there that came just to see a circus act.
Okay. Did you get the idea that anyone was there for real?
I did talk to some girls that were there because they found him attractive and they liked his music.
Really?
But the overwhelming majority of the people, both that we encountered and the people that I interviewed, were there to have fun and to laugh at Kevin Federline.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait. Looking forward to that. Also, on the program today, you know, this is the most wonderful time of the year because today, the 27th of November, is the day that we kick off the search for this year's Miss Double December, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's right.
Miss Double December. So we'll be talking to the current Miss Double D, Yasmin, in the 7 o'clock hour and give you all the details on how you ladies can apply if you want the honor of representing the Kevin and Bean Show for the next year as Miss Double December. And
I think about I just want to fill some people in on behind the scenes, and that is that all of the former Miss Double Decembers, we kind of just held on to them. So it's like Yasmin and last year's Christy and the year before that Melissa, they all pretty much show up to all of our events now. So that's pretty spectacular.
Well, it's like if you serve as president, you know, you're in that ex-president's club, you still get to kind of do some cool stuff for the rest of your life. So
yeah.
same sort of deal with Miss Double December. But I look forward to this every year. So we kick that off today. Let me see. Also, black Christmas trees, apparently the new trend this year. And not just at Michael Richards' house. Apparently, that's what they're selling now. Last year, the new trend, and I don't know why there's anything wrong with Christmas trees, that they need a new trend, but last year, upside-down Christmas trees were all the rage. And apparently, the same boneheads behind that are now pushing black Christmas trees.
Huh.
So we'll talk to them, find out what that's all about. Got some highlights from this past weekend's NFL games. Kevin, I couldn't watch the Raiders-Chargers game, but I did check online, and I saw the Raiders were ahead by about 10. I still wasn't worried they'd figure out a way to lose it, and apparently they did.
Yeah, they did. And it was there was one particular point in the game where it was the most confusing 5 minutes in NFL history, I think. I mean, it was just crazy. The referees changed their minds 3 times. And in the end, once they sorted it all out, it pretty much was just the Raiders getting screwed. And then San Diego went on to win from that point. So that probably makes you happy, Bean. But it was spectacularly bad.
Well, the Raiders, it may not have been their fault this time, but it does seem like, on average, every game they figure out some way to lose.
One of my best friends is a huge Raiders fan. I mean, he's the guy who, every time he sees someone in the crowd, he goes, "Raiders!" He's that guy, right? And he comes over to watch the game sometimes, and he says, "This is not a surprise to any Raiders fan. We have the absolute worst luck." And I was arguing with him. I was like, come on. Each team has the same amount of bad luck. It's just some people, you know, choose to focus. That's not the point. The Raiders actually do have the worst luck of anybody in the NFL.
It's a combination. They may have the worst luck, but they also have the worst team on top of it. So it's not like they've got a great team that can win over the bad luck.
Hey, do not insult my Arizona Cardinals. They are the worst team in football.
You could be right about that. I think the Raiders may be 2-9. The Cardinals may be 1-10. I think that's the battle that they're fighting here. Thanksgiving holiday has gone wrong. We look forward to doing that every year. We'll do that in the 8 o'clock hour today. Also, she is new to the cast of one of our favorite TV shows, Monday Night's Heroes on NBC. We're going to be talking to the beautiful actress Rena Sofer on the show today. Who I think you know is unbelievable, and she's good. So all of that sounds that's a lot of show, if you want my opinion.
Does sound like a show.
And we'll give you details on how you can win your tickets before they go on sale for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. 5:39 in the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin one day will appear. Ralph will be next with the showbiz beat right after this on K-Rock. 5:46 Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, 106.7 KROQ. Hey, I am not privy to the paperwork today. They're not sharing. But how do you win the tickets if you want to go to K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006? What do?
You listen for Fall Out Boy Dance Dance and be caller number 20.
Okay, that's the information I was looking for.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Paperwork.
Are we on yet?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought you were here earlier, and then the song ended, and you're gone again. Now what?
Well, I had to get something to drink, for God's sake. The guy can't be parched and do a show.
I mean, you can't start off parched.
Right. I mean, you just start off parched. Where do you end up, you know?
Yeah, that's a dead. You end up dead. Clearly, you'd die if you didn't go out and get something now. All right. This is, we got to regroup, I guess, after a long weekend. That's what's going on here. Ralph Garman, good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
Fine.
Great.
Good to see you.
Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
So let me get it straight, Lisa. There's a 60% chance of rain today?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I know 60% it's raining, chance. But
yeah,
I think
wouldn't that
it
make
means,
it 100% chance
it means
of rain?
Throughout the day.
If it's actually raining, why you say 60% chance of rain? Don't just stop and say to yourself, well, maybe I should augment that number slightly.
Do you know if it's raining everywhere?
It's raining outside.
That's not
I don't
true.
Know if it's raining everywhere, but it's raining
Southern
outside.
California.
That's all I know.
So maybe in other places it's not raining.
So you're saying you have a much bigger picture to look at, Lisa.
Exactly. It's not just where you are, Ralph.
Oh, my God, it's raining! A lot of people drive and look out the window going, 60% chance of rain. Yeah, I would up that by about 40%. That's just me. What do I know?
You don't know anything.
Let's take a look at the showbiz news. My favorite showbiz stories are the ones you just know aren't true. But are so good, you choose to tell them to your friends anyway.
And believe them.
Reportedly, Tom Cruise had gained so much weight before his wedding to Katie Holmes, he was wearing a girdle underneath his tux.
What?
I don't believe this for a second, but I love it so much, I would like to treat it as the truth.
Yeah.
Apparently, gossip columnist Janet Charlton said she had a spy at Armani, which made Tom's tux, and said that the girdle was sewn into his undergarment so the jacket would fall appropriately. Apparently, he had put on too much weight before the wedding because friends claim Tom is a nervous eater and he was getting stressed about the idea of spending his life with a woman. I mean, with Katie Holmes. I mean, with a woman named
Katie.
We
know what you mean.
Now, they don't have the magic underwear in Scientology, right? That's just, no. That's something else, right?
This was a special Mormons undergarment he wore so that his tux would look, you know, good.
Mm-hmm.
Flattering.
And this is the guy that made his wife start working out immediately after she gave birth, right?
That's what we were told.
Yeah.
He put her on a strict exercise and diet program before their wedding so she would look as good as possible.
Excellent.
But it's good to be the Cruise.
No, it's not.
Is Lindsay Lohan a cutter?
What?
Really?
Yeah, and this probably isn't true, but I like to believe it. Apparently, pictures in this week's Star magazine show the actress with marks on her arm. And scratches and cuts above her left wrist.
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not. Good point. Cutting is most common among young people who feel they aren't worthy or have no self-esteem. And Angelina Jolie, Fiona Apple, and Princess Diana have all claimed that at some point in their lives they were cutters.
Princess Diana was a cutter?
Yeah. She had some real self-esteem issues, if you ever read any of those books, which is crazy. You know, she was a princess.
Right, yeah. The other thing about Lindsay is it seems like every other week she has another injury. Like she falls down in the shower or down stairs or breaks a glass. It just seemed like she does hurt herself a lot. So maybe
she's a breaker, too. She's a cutter and a breaker. She's breaking herself and cutting herself.
She's a stumbler.
Lindsay's people are telling In Touch magazine Lindsay fell in some bushes.
Really?
She scratched herself.
Was
Lindsay drunk? That's where the cuts come from.
Because she spends so much time outside backpacking in the woods?
That's right. You know her. She's constantly trekking through the wilderness up there in Bronson Canyon. Let's take a look at the top movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? Once again, people chose Penguins.
Happy feet.
Over Bond, happy feet.
Dude, they're not just penguins. They're dancing penguins.
And singing.
From what I understand.
Don't forget the singing part. $37.9 million made it number one at the box office this weekend. Casino Royale followed up with about $31 million.
Ralph, I read this morning, and maybe you saw this as well, that the James Bond movie, Casino Royale, one of the biggest Bonds ever, huge international box office, has opened in 50 countries now and opened at number one in 49 of them.
Wow.
Who hates the Bond?
Except for America.
Oh, it's in America.
Except for America.
Happy. We like penguins better.
We'd rather see someone who's actually a penguin than someone who's dressed as a penguin at a casino. That's what we decided. Deja Vu did pretty well. It made $20.8 million. Deck the Halls, that freaking Christmas movie with Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito, made $12 million. Good enough to make it number four this week. And Borat stayed in the top five with $10.4 additional million dollars this weekend.
Fantastic.
What else we got? Santa Claus 3 was number 6. Stranger Than Fiction, number 7. Flushed Away was 8. Bobby was number 9. And The Fountain, in its debut, made its debut at number 10 at the box office. $3.7 million made it number 10.
Well, it was an extra short weekend.
So I saw two movies this weekend, and neither were in the top 10.
Excellent. That's hard to believe.
I saw Tenacious D.
How about that? How about The Pick of Destiny? Were you stoned?
No.
It helps.
And I saw For Your Consideration, which I love.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it's very funny.
I thought For Your Consideration was sort of weak.
Really?
Oh, compared to? I laughed throughout.
Compared to the other Christopher Guest movies, it was it's way, way, way over the top. And those movies, I think, usually work best for me when they're closer to the bone, you know, and they're a little bit more realistic.
They kind of underplay it a bit.
They underplay it, and it's a little more subtle. This was pretty broad. It was okay, but I thought it was, of all the Chris Guest movies.
Poor Tenacious D, how did they not get in the top 10 for that?
That's wrong. Come on. That's way wrong.
Hey, let's get a quick review from Psycho Micah on how he liked the Borat movie.
Yeah, how about that?
How was it?
Phenomenal.
What was your favorite part?
The part where Borat is playing piano at the bar, and he says,
I don't
remember the woman.
Here's looking you, kid.
Yeah,
that one?
That's not
that
part. That's a different movie.
You didn't go again this weekend?
No.
Did we? Tell you still not? Haven't seen Borat?
No.
Didn't we tell you not to come in if you haven't seen Borat? I mean, really? Isn't that?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
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 Well, in Mike's defense, it's only been a month. It's been in theaters.
Yeah, you did, but I didn't do it.
And we've been telling him every day since it came out how funny it is. Now he has to go, and he's,
was the Thanksgiving weekend. I was.
So you had no time.
The family stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all had family stuff, Mike. Yeah.
But all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday, all day Sunday?
You had 96 hours of family commitments?
Yesterday, I probably could have gotten to it, but I had a K-Rock gig. And, you know, after that, it was...
You're nothing but a bag of excuses.
Yeah,
your whole life
true.
Has been just doling out excuses about stuff.
I don't generally go see a movie. I can't sit still that long.
But
it's like 87 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of the shortest movies ever, and it's you will laugh out loud. It's so it's like he made it for you.
You won't notice how long you're sitting while you're watching the movie, laughing and enjoying it.
I'll get around to it.
No, you won't! You suck!
You know what? We don't want you to see it now.
I had family things to do and nice things, and I had a K-Rock event, and I couldn't get to it because I have excuses. Ass.
You're bad.
Yeah.
Speaking of Borat, this is a great story. Sacha Baron Cohen has been nominated for a national award in Kazakhstan, of all places.
Are you kidding?
Despite the fact that he lampoons the crap out of Kazakhstan in his movie, apparently the cultural group there in the Central Asian state believe that he has done more to spark interest in Kazakhstan throughout the world than everything the Kazakhstan government has done during its years of independence.
I like play table tennis. I like shoot dog.
Yep, sure. Sure, that's always shoot fun. Dog. So apparently they have nominated him for a cultural award in the country of Kazakhstan.
That's impossible to believe.
I guess he's a writer who has nominated him, said about, you know, the fact that some people in the country are upset about how he treats Kazakhstan and the people of it. He said, once a country lacks a sense of humor, then the country itself becomes a laughingstock, is what this guy said. So there's one guy in Kazakhstan, apparently, who gets it. And Michael Richards is just spinning his wheels in overdrive, trying to make up for everything he said to those two black guys at the comedy club in West Hollywood.
Is he on the apology tour?
Yes, he is.
With Mel Gibson?
I don't know if you heard him on Reverend Jesse Jackson's radio show, Keep Hope Alive.
Oh, no.
Which is nationally syndicated in the U.S. Yeah. He went on there and apologized. He's just apologizing everywhere he can.
Isn't Jesse Jackson far more racist than Michael Richards?
Yes. Yes.
I've never heard him call two guys the N-word at a comedy club. I'll tell you that much.
It's Whitey he hates.
I've seen Jesse's stand-up, and he is hilarious.
He does stand-up?
He's never been heckled. I'll tell you that much.
Did you hear what Kramer said to Jesse Jackson at the close of the interview, though?
No.
You know you're my nigga, right? And I appreciate everything you've done for me, for real.
I mean, I just thought...
That seems like maybe
unacceptable.
That's wildly inappropriate.
A poor choice.
And it looks like we're going to get a sequel to The Da Vinci Code, whether we like it or not. Sequel to that film is in the works as we speak. Scriptwriter Akiva Goldsman has decided to adapt Angels and Demons, which, for fans of the novel, know it was the book that preceded The Da Vinci Code, but they're going to rework the script so it will be a natural sequel to the film. Tom Hanks will return, and it looks like 2008 sometimes is when we'll be seeing that.
So trailers will be in theaters this weekend.
Absolutely. And yes, David Blaine did it, man. He got out of those shackles.
Oh, I was so worried.
Remember I told you that he was going to appear above a Target and try to get out of some shackles hanging upside down four stories high?
Yeah, it was like the kickoff of a two-day sale
for Target, their Thanksgiving Day sale.
How the mighty have fallen.
I didn't mention, though, that he was going to spend 48 hours spinning inside a gyroscope before he attempted to get out of the shackles. I don't know if that makes it any more difficult, but... He spent 2 days in a spinning gyroscope.
I would think it would make a huge difference. I mean, doesn't that... You could spin me like that for a minute, and I would be not unable to stand up.
Well, the thing is, it's not like you're going around in one direction. You're in a gyroscope, you're constantly going in different directions.
But
you know
for
what I mean?
48 hours?
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be disconcerting, but I don't think you get quite as dizzy as you do ordinarily just spinning around. Anyway, he spent 2 days in a spinning gyroscope, which everyone kind of looked up and then said, oh, there he is again.
How about that? It's a guy that used to be underground.
And then he got out of the shackles in about 15 minutes and plunged to a plywood stage below him.
As far as I know, nobody carried this one on television, right? So at least the networks are starting to wise up.
Yeah, this was not on television. This just happened in New York.
It's a Target thing.
Apparently, his success means 100 children selected by the Salvation Army will be treated to a Christmas shopping spree at Target. Each of them will be given a $500 gift certificate. So he did it all for charity. Well, did it all for the kids.
Nice.
It's all about the kids.
It's because no one will pay him anymore.
And lastly, Jennifer Lopez angered the fellow passengers on the private jet that took guests to the Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes wedding in Rome. Apparently, she got there extra early and had her assistant lay coats and other belongings all over the best seats in the airplane so that she could have the best seats for her and her entourage.
Save me a seat, save me a seat.
It was like going into a movie theater. I'm going to get some popcorn. Put your coat on this chair.
Awesome.
And apparently Jada Pinkett Smith, Leah Remini, Jerry Maguire, director Cameron Crowe, and others were upset with her when they boarded the 757. Everyone kind of went on at once, and they found J-Lo had already taken over. She was already on the plane and had taken over the best seats.
What the hell?
So they were very upset. You know, it's funny. All the people that Tom Cruise invited to that wedding, yeah. I would think that plane would have to be jam-packed already. It would have to be, every seat would have to be spoken for.
Before
she would even get on there. I was surprised that she could find seats for her and her entourage because there were so many people invited. And I know Tom Cruise just had the one plane, so everyone that he was inviting had to travel to Rome in that one private jet. I'm stunned that she even had the seats available for her and her entourage.
How do you suppose they were able to squeeze her in, though, with that with all those people trying to get on one plane?
Well, the thing is, Bean, it turns out when it comes to show business or airplanes,
yeah,
there's always room for J-Lo.
Yeah. Coming up next hour, we're going to call the Butterball Turkey Hot.
Yeah. A lot of people upset, Kevin, by the way. You ruined their Thanksgivings.
I know. I got more hate about that than anything else in my life.
You wouldn't let it happen, by the way. Just want you to know. No, that's a whole other bit.
That's
whole
bad timing?
Another bit.
Okay, sorry.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robin Givens. Remember her? She used to be Mike Tyson's punching bag.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
She used to play that role. Remember that
right,
series
sure.
she did?
Sure.
Mike's punching bag?
Sure.
She was good on that.
She was.
I had to punch her in the head.
She ran for several years, if I recall correctly.
She's 42 years old today. Michael Vartan. who, of course, played that guy on Alias.
That dude, that guy.
Yeah. He's 38 years old today. And Jaleel White, my buddy Jaleel White, who played Steve Urkel on Family Matters,
mm-hmm.
turns 30 years old today.
When's your movie or TV show or whatever coming out with him?
We don't know. We did a pilot together that so far has not sold.
Oh.
Okay.
So we may never get to see.
That's got everything.
You may never get to see me working with Urkel.
That's just wrong.
It is.
Are you
wrong.
See that. Are you Click or Gorb?
I'm Cade.
Cade.
I like Cade in that series.
No.
Completely
Ralph?
Different.
Did they, I don't know how it works with you Hollywood types, but do they give you a copy of it? Is it possible that you have one or no?
I don't have one, but I probably could get my my sticky little fingers on a
well,
a
if it's
copy.
Not going to air, I think that's something we need to see anyway.
Yeah, well, it was originally we did it for ABC, and then they passed.
Mm-hmm.
But once you've done it, they pass on it, you can take it around to other places. So if they're currently shopping it around, so I don't know if they're going to let me have it yet, but once it's a complete failure, then I'll be able
fantastic.
To get it.
Keep us posted. That
I
sounds
absolutely
fun.
Will. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Diddy has MySpace videos, and he puts them up so that he can keep in touch with his fans. This is the first one, I think, that he put.
Every day I'm going to come to y'all with a message about how I feel. And this is going to be about how I feel. However I feel at that moment, I'm going to let y'all know.
Okay.
So there's going to be days I feel happy, sad, I'm stressed, I'm angry. So that's what it's called. The segment's going to be called How I'm Feeling.
I
wonder how many fans Diddy has left after his second consecutive bomb album.
Well, he's got the people that watch the MySpace video. He's got those people.
They've
got
to be hardcore fans if you're going there.
Because, okay. I mean, he really lets you into the inner sanctum.
I know this is my second broadcast to y'all from the bathroom, but have you ever had to take a piss real bad? The feeling of just the release
mm-hmm.
is something that truly can't be explained. It's almost as good as sex.
Okay, that was the one where I realized he was out. He had nothing to say. If he's already talking about how good it feels to pee, he's done with his MySpace.
He's got
videos.
Class. That's
well,
all I want.
Here's the thing that I love about him, though, is that he not only does he then go on to pee on camera, but he's explaining it to us like none of us have ever had that experience.
Yeah.
None of us have ever gone to the bathroom and felt any kind of relief. So he needs to bring it to life for us so we can understand his weird world. He kills me, that guy.
That is funny.
So he goes to Germany. Recently. I guess it's to go on tour or whatever, but he wants to share Germany with us.
Okay.
And so he puts up some more videos.
Coming to y'all live from Germany. Shout out to all my German fans. I just wanted to take y'all where I'm at, you know what I'm saying? Wherever I'm at on this Press Play tour, I wanted y'all to come with me. Wanted to show y'all the views that sometimes us in America, we just think that we only have the beautiful place in the world, and there's so many other beautiful countries. Just, you know, Germany, baby. Germany. You know, very nice out here. People are treating me very, 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 treating me very well, you know.
You know, because sometimes we think there's no other beautiful place in the world except for America. Who thinks that? Is there anyone that doesn't say, hey, there's probably some beautiful places in Switzerland and, you know, everywhere else is.
I like how he has about a 40 seconds of material and then he's just out. He's got nothing.
Yeah, you know, you think we're the only beautiful places in America, and they're treating me, they're treating me, you know, nice.
Germany, man. Germany.
It's really not that different than the King of Mexico trying to do a podcast.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's very true. So then he goes on to talk about the food.
I had a schnitzel. Schnitzel is like some veal. It's like some fried veal. My fried chicken, that's what a schnitzel that has, some schnitzel.
Okay, thank you, Diddy, thanks.
That
rare chicken veal animal that they sell.
Fried chicken, veal.
Veal.
Mine all include hot dogs. I don't know what he's talking about, but that's him sharing his food with you. And then he continues and he tells you why he feels the need to do this video from Germany.
But I just wanted to say what's up from Germany. I know I haven't hit y'all with a webisode in a day. We here. You see it. Germany, baby. Bad boy, bitch.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Now you're cool.
Bad boy, bitch. I haven't done a webisode in like a day.
Right.
Wow, your fans must be going crazy, clamoring the internet.
Where
trying
are
to find
you?
It.
What are you doing?
But at least
what
when
are
you hear
eating?
It, you can see why we miss it so much.
Yeah. And finally, his when he travels in style.
Sometimes you can't go to a bar, but you don't know.
right, right, right.
That's why they asked me. They say, Diddy, you want some bougie stuff? You always fly your barber everywhere you go. You can't go to a barber you don't know.
Okay, so sometimes you can't go to a barber you don't know. So what Diddy does is he flies a barber with him everywhere he goes.
Hey, good tip. Just the rest of us when we travel.
Hey, thanks. Because you know when you get a haircut one day, if you get on a plane and travel for a day, sometimes you're all hair, you need another cut, right? Like that, you never know.
What would happen if he went to someone he didn't know? I mean, he doesn't have that much hair.
Lisa, for
it would
God
be
sakes.
Like you going to...
He goes on to explain for you that don't understand.
Because okay. Sometimes they will give you a half moon. You ever seen, you know what a half moon is? See, I got a full moon. A half moon is when your barber, for some reason, want to try to get your line extra straight, but he cut your thing and it be right here.
Right, right.
Okay? And the last time y'all saw him on Diddy TV, he had a lot of hair.
I want to be that guy in the background that has to laugh at everything Diddy says.
His little entourage. Oh, you're so funny.
Ah, it's crazy.
His hairline was right. He was getting cut by your own barber, right?
Right, yep.
Okay, so what the f*** happened now?
A n***a is doing moves. Get a haircut every damn day on the set. I can't stop the people because they paying
what
this man.
Is and, that, man? What is that protruding? It's like a slope. It's like a protrusion. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls.
Yes.
Never let a barber cut your hair that you do not know.
Okay. All right. So you have to know them personally before you let them cut your hair.
Good lesson.
Good advice.
Oh, Diddy. He's. You know what? Without Diddy, how would we get through life?
I wouldn't know how to live.
Oh, my God. It's that time of year again. We are now headlong right toward Christmas.
Oh, hurtling.
Christmas is tomorrow, basically.
Yeah,
and as you go out to shop, there are always these lists, these consumer watch groups that put out lists of dangerous toys.
Sure.
For example, the Mattel recalled about 4.4 million Polly Pocket sets.
I heard about that. That's a little doll. I guess they had a problem with the magnets falling out, or kids been able to get the magnet out of the doll and swallowing
it. Isn't
that most of what the warnings are, is they have small pieces. You ought to be aware that a button can come off a dress on a doll or something like that. You just got to be careful that kids will put anything in their mouths and they'll swallow them.
On the list this year, this is Watch's 2006 list of potentially dangerous toys. They have Fear Factor Candy Challenge. That sounds bad.
you
are
can
you tell
serious?
From the name of that one you don't want. It, right?
Oh my God.
Yeah, anything that has the words fear factor in it, parents, don't buy for your little kids, all right?
The warning could result in vomit?
No, it's just little pieces of whatever they can swallow and choke on. Yeah, that's what it is.
Worms.
But then it's other little things like, I don't know, the bow and arrow set, things like that. That they
well,
say
what can go wrong with that?
They say might be unsafe for children. So since these people are putting their lists out each year, we figured we would have one of the guys on. Bill Fritterden, I think is his name, and he is the spokesman for Watch, World's Against Toys Causing Harm.
Oh, okay.
Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you for the good work that you do to help protect the little boys and girls at home at Christmas morning.
Well, you don't want anything dangerous happening to the young ones at Christmas time. Mm-hmm. It should be a time of joy and of enjoyment for children. They should have happy and safe holidays, and we just go out of our way to try to make sure that at least parents have the heads up about the dangerous toys that are out there and ones to stay away from.
Now, that makes a lot of sense. And some of it just seems like common sense. I mean, if you're buying, I noticed on your list this year, you got the Sky Blaster, and this is a rocket launcher. Now, isn't it just common sense that you don't give that to a kid who's so young that he might shoot it in somebody's face?
Well, there are certain toys that always send up a red flag with us here at Watch. Anything that is involves projectiles, like you mentioned, anything with the blasters or guns or bows and arrow sets, these have to be used with extreme caution. Also, anything with smaller pieces, especially when it comes to young children who tend to put things in their mouth, they can choke on them pretty easily.
Right.
So these are things you definitely have to keep your looking out for.
Well, give us some of the items this year that are dangerous.
Well, as you read from our list, top 10 most dangerous, potentially dangerous toys already, but there are others that did not make the top 10 list, which I think are equally dangerous, you need to keep an eye out for.
Okay.
You know, the little girls love to emulate their pop stars and their movie stars and whatnot, and we think this year you really need to stay away from the Lindsay Lohan fire crotch panties.
They're selling those to kids?
These are panties that have a small explosive charge built into them. And, know, it's got a little musical element to it, and when the song stops, instead of like a jack in the box, the panties explode.
Wow.
Well, that Bill, I think you're wise to spot like that. That sounds like a very dangerous toy for a little girl.
You don't want a little girl's cooter to get all singed on Christmas.
No, absolutely not. No.
Also, this year, a lot of celebrity-endorsed items we're trying to advise people to stay away from. The Michael Richards My First Lynching playset.
Oh, jeez.
Actually, it comes with an ass fork.
Is that right?
Oh, that's handy.
By definition, I think...
By the way, Ass Fork is opening gifts to Christmas, although it was a surprise up till this point.
By definition, I think any toy called an Ass Fork is something that you will want to stay away from.
That's probably good advice.
Wow, they went into production really fast with that one.
Yeah, they cranked this one out. Yeah. You have to be careful with fly-by-night operations.
Yeah.
Also, the little Scientologist throw the Thetans in the volcano game.
What is that?
That's where you play Xenu, and you have to bind the Thetans to a volcano and then explode them with hydrogen bombs to send their spirits into the netherworld.
Okay, so hydrogen bombs are included?
Yes, but we're more concerned about the hot lava that pours from the volcano once the bombs go off.
Well, you're wise to point that out. That sounds dangerous. If you're just starting us, Bill Fritterden is the spokesperson for World Against Toys Causing Harm, talking about dangerous toys out there you should stay away from this holiday season.
You would think board games would be safe this year for kids, but there are some dangerous ones out there. The Little Raiders electronic football game.
Right.
First of all, it's sad. It's a game you just can't win. It's not dangerous as much as it is frustrating.
So every time you take the field, you lose.
Yes, unless you're playing the opposing team, and then there's a guy with some face paint who comes and beats you up.
Okay.
If you're playing against the Raiders. And kids should not be beat up at Christmas. I don't care what they've done.
That's probably pretty good advice to stay away from that one.
Let's see. We also got the OJ If I Did It the Game.
Oh, wow. Oh. I didn't realize the game was a... They were doing the book and they were doing the TV interview.
Yeah.
But those...
It's the board game, If I Did It. It's sort of like a Clue type game. Unfortunately, every answer is OJ on the steps with a knife. Does include a knife, a hunting knife with it. I think you need to stay away from that one.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
A lot of movie-themed games this year. The movies are always popular with the kids. Bobby... Shoot the candidate game.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably bad.
Yeah, you want to stay away from that.
If not dangerous, it's just tasteless.
Sure.
You play a little Sirhan, and there's actually a gun included in the game.
A gun?
And you have to try to shoot a cutout of Robert Kennedy.
Yeah, that's not good for anyone. I agree.
Casino Royale, big movie this year, of course. James Bond games are back. James Bond 007, the glove compartment defibrillator game. You put the little leads on your chest and charge yourself up to 1,700 volts of electricity.
That does not seem safe.
You can see that would be dangerous right there.
Yeah.
And lastly, the Borat bag of poop.
Is that's a game you could buy in the stores?
No, it's just a bag of poop.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's a danger. Extra hepatitis there. You want to stay away from that.
And that's bad?
Yeah, well, who was to buy that anyway? You know, a bag of poop. $29.95 seems like you could make it yourself for that less.
That's very...
What is it about Kevin that makes you love him?
He's so simple.
Kevin Federline, one of the few appearances on his concert tour for the new CD called Playing With Fire that was not canceled due to poor ticket sales, was Wednesday night in Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen, on the Sunset Strip. K-Rock was there.
Who was happier than everybody that works on this show? They were talking about it for a couple of weeks, I think, about how excited you guys were. Omar is here, Dave the King of Mexico, and Psycho Mike. You guys have been looking forward to that show for ever since it was announced.
And we were getting bummed because we were, you know, hearing that all the shows were canceled. We're like, oh man, this one can't be canceled. You know, we're all like, oh.
I checked every day to make sure it wasn't canceled.
What did Ralph tell us? That Anaheim sold like 40 tickets or something like that before they finally pulled
tickets,
the plug at it?
Yeah.
38?
Wow. 38, yeah.
And why LA? Why was LA able to go on?
I think because Kevin fancies himself as an LA guy and has a lot of his home base in LA and Malibu and whatnot. And I think he thought that regardless of what happens as far as ticket sales, he's got to power through with this one.
So it wasn't up to him? I mean, you'd think it wouldn't be up to him.
It's
you'd think the venue would cancel. Maybe just talked him into keeping it.
I know. Then you got to keep in mind it was Wednesday. Nobody really had work on Thursday or, you know, go to school or whatever. So he probably did have a little higher ticket sales that day.
It was the night before Thanksgiving. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you guys go to the show and you start interviewing people.
Yeah.
Tell us about the first guy.
Well, there's a valet guy. You know, we're standing out waiting for people to start coming in. And I've been to shows at the House of Blues. Those guys are usually swamped.
Running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
You're a valet here at the Kevin Federline Show?
Yeah.
You busy tonight?
Not really busy.
Not so much with the cars.
Yeah. No, the people.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. Now, you'd think we were excited to come to this show. You thought we went out of our way
you
to
did.
See a train wreck.
You guys were talking for weeks and weeks and weeks about what a train wreck it was going to be, how excited you were.
We didn't exactly go to the drastic measures of these people.
Where'd you come from tonight to see Kevin Federline?
I came all the way from Sacramento. We drove down just so we could witness the train wreck.
Awesome!
Oh my God.
That guy's a fan.
What is that, like 5-6 hours drive from Sacramento just to see the train wreck? That's my man.
Yeah. And, you know, not everybody purchased tickets to the show.
You guys have tickets? You're hoping to maybe score some later?
We got them for free from a girl at our work.
You guys knew, you found out how many tickets were actually sold, right?
We talked to someone at the House of Blues afterwards. They said a little over 90.
90.
And the rest were given away.
Yeah.
You think they made an announcement at the work? You know, hey, we have some tickets for Federline. If anybody wants them, seriously, anybody, just come up and ask us.
Happy Thanksgiving. All employees are welcome to leave at noon with a half day. And we have some Kevin Federline tickets available. LA Fire Department shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, what a great gig being a Hollywood firefighter, because all they do is pretty much go around to the different clubs making sure that the fire codes are...
Go to clubs, go to shows.
Reason. Yeah. Yeah. So they show up and we have to talk to them.
What are you doing here? Is it because the LA County Fire Department has known that Kevin has been known to play with fire?
No, we're here to remove everybody who passes out from boredom.
So I take it you're not a big Federline fan?
No, we're here to save everybody from Kevin Federline.
Nice. Fire department mocking him.
Those guys were so cool.
Save everybody from boredom.
These guys came from the Jay-Z show down the block to Kevin Federline, so I was like, ooh, the difference, you know?
Really? Yeah. You don't go in the opposite direction with your gig that night?
I mean, the curiosity was rampant around
Los Angeles.
That's all it was to it. More fun with the fire department.
I think...
No, I cut that one out.
We're okay. That's fire. What I thought. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's... most of the people there, would you say, were there for comedy, right, guys?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It would have to be. I mean, who would really want to see him play?
It was funny, because there was people outside who would walk up to the ticket window and be like, can I have a ticket for free? And then I was like, no, the $26.50. And they're like, nah, forget this. There are people outside like, oh, man, we didn't get free tickets. So, you know.
Well, there was one girl who was a true Fed head.
Really?
Yes.
There was a real fan?
Real Fed head. And we were fascinated by this chick.
I think he's a really good rapper. He just needs to be a little bit more coordinated with his music and his movement. Yeah, he's hot. Good,
You find Kevin Federline attractive?
Yeah, I love the guy. I love the guy. He's cute.
Do you have tickets to tonight's show?
Almost. I was supposed to go to the one in Anaheim, and I had the I was going to get a ticket. I went to go buy the ticket, all this stuff, and he canceled out. I don't blame him because Anaheim sucks. So I was like, I know he's been playing West Hollywood because all the stars and celebrities play here. So
yeah, because this is a huge draw for stars and celebrities in the Kevin Federline show.
Yeah, it's the day before Thanksgiving. It's my Thanksgiving treat.
So I think we're all willing to chip in $1.75.
Absolutely not.
If you lie down and let us circle...
What's that?
We'll show you.
Pants or something?
Well, yeah, we do take down our pants.
Oh.
My.
It was Omar's bad influence.
Here's what I like. Oh, yeah, that's Omar's influence. Here's what I like is Mike says, oh, we're willing to pony up about $1.60 a piece. And Omar goes, absolutely not. Not even worth spending $1.50 for her.
So, Omar, you know you guys do all that zany, Omar, I wish you were here at the...
Right.
His real behavior, not all that far off from your wacky stories and tales.
That's what it's based on, is Omar, when he parties, really does go out of his mind. And that's why it cracks us up every single time we're doing something fun, that Omar has to be back here at the studio. Because if anyone should be there having fun, it should be Omar, the way he parties.
We get into the show, and we go...
Well, this is... And I mean, he's supposed to go on at 9 o'clock.
Right.
He doesn't go on till 11.
No.
Okay?
Oh,
so not only do we have 2 hours to kill, but we go across the street to the Saddle Ranch, and I get loaded
you
some
start
more.
Drinking, sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, loaded. Sure. Me and Dave are hammered.
Yeah.
And we get into the place. The first place we go to is the bar. It's now close to 11 o'clock. And I'm like, where's Omar? Where's Omar? And Dave and I are kind of worried because he shouldn't be on his own at this point.
Right.
He comes back with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
A bottle?
Yeah, so check this out. So we're walking. We got like VIP access or whatever. So we're by like where the foundation room, which is upstairs, right?
Upstairs.
So I'm walking, and I'm following these guys. I'm like the last in line, you know? And all of a sudden, I see, you know, a group of people walking the other direction. And I notice that the door says Kevin Federline on it. And I'm like... well, all right then. So I followed the other group of guys and I acted like I'm with them, dude. So I'm in Kevin Federline's dressing room.
That's
no way.
Awesome.
I swear to God, dude. And the only people that weren't black in that room was me and Federline.
Really?
It was awesome, dude. So about 10 seconds after I get in there, you know, I got hit up. I'm like, who, you know, they're all like, who are you with? And I was like, I'm with Power 106, man. Totally cool.
And they were fine?
And they're like, I. Yeah, totally.
They didn't
dude.
Care. You didn't have any of the right
nothing.
Pass,
nothing.
Wristband,
just,
nothing.
I had two wristbands. I don't know what the hell they meant, you know, but they're like, all right, fine.
That's awesome. You could be one of the good fellows for all they know, for all I know, for
exactly,
God's sake.
Exactly, dude. 1059. You know what I mean? It was crazy, dude. So I was just like, I was thinking in my head, oh, dude, I got to do something great. I mean, like,
right.
You know.
Because you're sitting with Federline.
Yeah. I was like, okay, you know, I don't want to get kicked out right. now because I haven't seen the show. So I was like, all right, you know, I'm just going to, you know, kind of like observe what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, all was going on is, you know, you got peeps just drinking alcohol and stuff. And he was just kind of like holding a microphone. I don't know if it's a special microphone or what the
Kevin
deal
Federline
was.
Kevin Federline had a microphone in his
he
hand?
He had a microphone in his hand, and he was just kind of like pacing back and forth and stuff. And then about, you know, 5 minutes go by, then it was showtime. All right, showtime, ah! You know, and then they walk out the door. And then I was the last one in there. And I'm looking, all right, I need to taste something, dude. I need to taste something. They're like, where, you know, there's like no clothes, no nothing. But I saw a bottle of Jack, dude. I'm like, swipe, dude. Bam, dude.
That's why I love Omar, because his thought is the same as mine. I've got to take something.
Yeah, dude. You know,
dude. Now is the moment yeah. I must steal.
You know, dude. It's all about it, dude. So I roll up in the bar, dude. I'm like, hey, you know? So it was party time in the bar, dude. It was awesome.
And you wonder where, I mean, they metal detect you and they pat you down and everything. I'm like, how did Omar get a giant bottle of Jack Daniels into a venue? It turns out it was his.
Well, sick.
Then the show starts.
Right.
Omar's dead. We're all down on the floor area right in front of, and, you know, the show's going fine. And all of a sudden I see a big drink fly through the air and on the stage.
Oh, no.
And I say, wow, well, that was crazy. Who did that? And sure enough, I see Omar like a sniper. He's making his moves, trying to hide from the security.
So what did you throw? You didn't throw the bottle, did
no,
you?
No. At this point, the bottle was upstairs somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, whatever. You know,
what did you throw? A drink?
A drink. Yeah,
a
it was
cup?
Just a drink. Yeah, exactly. It was like a Diet Coke or something. It was a plastic cup. So
did you throw it at K-Fed?
No, it was, you know, he had just gone on stage and it was one of his breakdancers or whatever, so it got on her.
Did they find you and throw you out?
No.
Not yet.
Awesome.
Not yet. They were totally making their move, but Omar's good.
Yeah.
He's crafty.
Yeah, dude.
He's got guile. He was working his way through the crowd.
They didn't even see me.
Plus, you're from Power and all.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so, what are they
can't mess with Tito, you know? So then that happens or whatever. So then, you know, I'm like kind of like getting ticked off that nobody's really booing or doing nothing. There's actually people into the goddamn show.
No, not possible.
Oh, no. Dave, Mike, back there.
Yeah. Those of you just tuning in, we're talking about the K-Fed show. It was at the House of Blues Wednesday night before Thanksgiving. And the guys were there. And you guys, like, rightly so, thought everybody would be booing or laughing or something.
There was a lot, like, especially pressed up against the stage. There was people really into it, you know, like, go K-Fed. And that infuriated Omar.
I really ticked me off, dude. It set me off, dude. I don't know what. I was talking for hours afterwards. I was like, I can't believe he's. It was insane. So I took it upon myself. These guys weren't going to go to the very front row. I'm like, screw that. You know, I'm bam, dude. I'm in front, dude. K-Fed's no more than maybe 6 feet, 7 feet away from me, dude. Two middle fingers in the air. You suck, boo. You suck. Wait, and what happens? And then he calls me out on he's rapping and he's all what's he say? He says
like he stops pretty much stops rapping, comes right up to Omar's face. I see you hating. Yeah, throw those middle fingers up. Keep hating. Look at me, drink your haterade. I stole your queen. Look at me, I'm on stage, I'm balling.
Veins coming out of his neck. I had no idea what he was saying, because at that point it was the greatest moment ever, dude. I was like, yes, I can't believe this is happening, dude.
Look, you went looking for that exact moment.
Yes,
I remember like Wednesday morning of last week, he was like, I'm so going to get in his face.
And that tips me off. And I'm trying so hard. I have the recorder.
I was just going to say, where's the audio from that?
Okay, it's so loud in there. I can see the levels are just peaking. So I'm trying my hardest. I'm now crouched in a corner working on this recorder, trying to get the levels down.
It's a really complicated machine. It's hard to turn it.
So at this point, he's trying to get the recorder going. And then I'm like, dude, you know, I turn around to Dave. I'm like, dude, did you guys see that? And then Dave calls me over. You know, he calls me over or whatever. So I'm like, you know, making my way towards the back of the club.
Right.
And out of nowhere, dude, I swear to God, I didn't look at this guy or whatever. One of the K heads or whatever you're calling them.
Fed heads.
One of the Fed heads comes up and he's like starting a fight with me,
dude. One of the hardcore fans?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Well, I think that was awesome. Me. I think that guy was trying to rush me because there was a guy in front of me who was all into it, and I was booing, like, you know, in his ear. And the guy turns around and says, "What the F, you know? Why you hating? Stop it." So I go, "Okay," and I boo louder. He starts throwing stuff at me, and I'm like, "All right, you know, I'm going to let it go, let
it go."
I
didn't see any of this.
And then finally, I got mad, and I threw something back. I threw ice back at the guy.
Right.
And that's when that guy just came out of nowhere, and that's when I just happened to call Omar, and that's
nice.
When
the whole ruckus
and
starts.
And, of course, security is all over my ass.
Now, wait a minute. Did the guy attack you? I mean, were you fighting?
He was attacking me. Yeah, and he came up, and then him and Omar were just going to go at it.
But as soon as anything could escalate, dude, security was on me like crazy, dude.
See, they have a sense of humor there.
Go check it out.
There was plainclose security everywhere. So I
cops, you mean?
They mixed in. They had
wigger uniforms on. They mixed in with the crowd.
Yeah,
I think these were KFET security. You know what I'm saying? To keep people like me in line. You know what I'm saying?
You
exactly.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, Omar's going crazy, so I got to jump on Omar, and I'm choking him, and he's carrying me.
Wait, wait, you're choking Omar?
Yeah, because security told me, get him out of here. Yeah. We got to talk to him outside.
And by the way, I
got it.
If you haven't seen Omar when he's drinking, you won't understand that was an exercise in futility. Right?
Yeah. You can't choke out Omar.
I missed this whole thing. Yeah. I'm looking at the recorder, trying my hardest, and all of a sudden I hear a melee. I mean, loud. It turns into a fight. And I look, the first thing I see, I look up, I see this side hatways wigger guy getting held by security, and I turn to the left. Well, what's going on? And Dave is rear naked choking Omar, and a security guard is pushing Omar back, and his face is beat revasive. And I'm trying so hard to figure out what's going on.
I'm off my feet. Omar's carrying me. I have to literally, you know, lean back and choke him.
This really does sound like the stories we make up about him when we're exaggerating.
Awesome. Next thing you know, we're out in the parking lot getting talked to by security and the House of Blues management.
That's
and everything.
The best. You guys deserve a raise of some kind.
That is the best.
And you got one interview afterwards.
Finally, the show's winding down. We had to talk to someone and ask them how the show went.
There's a spectrum of good to bad, and this fell in the bad, but it was so bad it was actually almost good, like the movie Jason X, or Bring It On, Jason X. It was that bad.
Wow. That's dude, awesome. That says it all. You guys did the Lord's work.
Yes! Good times.
6:54 now, time for the showbiz beat. Here is Ralph.
Still 60% chance of rain, by the way.
Yep.
60% chance out there.
Except for where it's raining.
Guy in a boat outside said, "Tell Lisa, make it like 65. So he's kayaking down Venice Boulevard.
Up at 5%.
God, it's raining!
Congratulations to Heidi Klum and her husband, Seal. They welcomed a baby boy into the world just before Thanksgiving.
Oh, God, I hope it looks like her.
Yeah, me too. What's up?
Dude.
Do you have some sort of skin infection or something? Is that what happened to him as a child?
Looks like he got shot in the face with a shotgun.
It was some sort of infection.
Scarring came from? Yeah, that's what I heard,
Some sort of disease,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Anyway, the couple had a lovely baby boy whose name, needless to say, is a mouthful.
Excellent.
Uh-oh.
Johann Riley Fyodor Taiwo Samuel.
Oh. All right. That might be the best name ever.
So please enjoy.
Johann.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Johann Riley Fyodor Taiwo Samuel. Seal's last name is Samuel. In case you're wondering where that weird part of the name came from.
Good.
That Samuel part, that's his last name. So that makes sense. Oh, my boy Jimmy Kimmel's in trouble.
Uh-oh, what happened?
What happened to Jimmy?
Apparently, Britney Spears is upset with him.
Oh, no. You don't want that to happen.
On the American Music Awards last Tuesday, Jimmy did a skit where he packed up a fake Kevin Federline into a box and tossed him in the ocean. apparently, Britney's people didn't know that he was going to do the sketch and were not pleased that it aired just before she stepped out on stage to be a surprise presenter on the show.
Ah. That makes sense.
It's not that she didn't want that to happen. It's just she felt awkward about it?
I guess so, yeah.
Huh.
Awesome. Her handlers reportedly asked the show's producers to not let that sketch be shown on the West Coast feed of the show, which was delayed, but the producers rightly refused.
Good for the producers. Yeah. Finally.
So I don't know if Jimmy's going to be hanging out with Britney Spears anytime soon. She's very upset. Nicole Richie's fired her stylist, Rachel Zoe. After more than 2 years ago, Us Weekly magazine reports that Nicole ditched her stylist because she wants to be surrounded by positive people and positive influences.
Okay.
Now, reportedly, this woman has a long history of nagging her clients into losing more and more and more weight. That's part really? Of how she styles them with clothing and looks and stuff. She keeps nagging them to lose weight. Her other clients, Misha Barton, Lindsay Lohan, Jennifer Garner, Kate Hudson, Brittany Murphy, and Keira Knightley.
Yeah, they all do.
They're pretty skinny chicks.
Yeah. Huh? So apparently in an attempt to, you know, get healthy again, Nicole had to dump her, and this woman is apparently furious.
Wow. Oh, no, you don't want an angry stylist.
No.
If they get skinny enough, you can use like a sock instead of a dress. It's much cheaper.
She said, all right, fatty, go ahead, fire me, see if I care. And then Nicole cried.
And puked.
James Bond, Daniel Craig, says every time he goes to a bar now, 3 shaken, not stirred martinis show up in front of him. People keep buying him martinis. Oh, poor baby. Like that to happen to me sometime.
It is funny, however, that people think that he's never heard or seen that before, and they're being really witty.
Dude, this will be funny. Watch. Send James Bond a martini.
And I hear in real life, the actor, Daniel Craig, is a Guinness man. He doesn't even care for the martinis, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's why he's complaining.
He's a bad drinker. Speaking of movies, Casino Royale came in number 2 at the box office once again this weekend. Once again, beaten out by Dancing and Singing Penguins. Happy Feet was number 1 with $37.9 million at the box office.
You said you were going to go see that, Ralph. Did you make it?
No. No, I got to see For Your Consideration this weekend. That was the only movie I caught.
Much better choice.
Did you go see it, Kevin?
Nope, but don't care. Happy Feet, you don't need
you
to
don't
see
know, it. Man.
You don't
know, man.
It could
be fun. It could
be good. Could be fun.
Every movie I like that's bad, you're all over me. Now you want to go see Happy Feet.
Who says this is bad?
Could be good.
Who says this is bad?
Me.
That's why we
it's
know
dancing
it's not
and
bad.
Singing Penguins.
Did you never see animated films before that you liked that were meant for kids?
Yeah, of course.
Well, why can't this be one of them?
Just can't.
Oh, okay.
It's unacceptable.
I didn't think of it that way.
It's unacceptable.
Casino Royale was number 2 at the box office this weekend. As I mentioned, Deja Vu was 3rd. Deck the Halls.
See that one, Ralph?
No. Right. I'm surprised you didn't.
It looks funny to me.
Didn't have time.
That's one laugh in it. I'm there.
Borat was number 5. The Santa Claus 3 was 6. Stranger Than Fiction, 7. Flushed Away was 8. Bobby was number 9. And The Fountain, number 10 at the box office this weekend. I heard about that Bobby game, by the way. That sounds bad.
It does sound bad.
Comes that's with a gun.
Inappropriate.
It's horrible for children. It shouldn't happen. Did you see the interview with the soon-to-be ex-Mrs. Paul McCartney on Extra?
Mm-mm.
I didn't see part 2.
Yeah. Apparently, in the second part, she said that the only thing she's done wrong is to fall in love with an icon.
Yeah.
And everyone is punishing her for it.
Yeah, that's the only thing she's done wrong.
She suggests that some people are just jealous of her relationship with Paul, and that's why everyone hates her.
Yeah.
Because they want to be close to Paul, and they're angry that she was.
Then why does Paul hate her?
Well, no answer for that, really.
Good question.
Because she's in love with him, and you can't have that, right?
Damn you.
That's all she's done.
And listen to your little story with your little friends who caused the ruckus at the House of Blues in Los Angeles.
That's my favorite story of all time, I think, right now.
Made me smile as I looked at this story about the Kevin Federline appearance at the House of Blues here in L.A. It's a national story that says, apparently Federline told the audience he's the most hated man in America because, and I quote, because I took their queen.
What? Because I took their queen.
That's right. And Psycho Mike, what did Federline scream at Omar?
He's screaming at him. You just hating. You drinking hate, Ray, because I stole your queen. Look at me balling. Look at me on stage bawling.
Did you yell back, you don't have her anymore? Or she dumped your ass? Or?
Dude, it was a ruckus the whole time.
That's
there was,
awesome.
Oh, Omar, there was nothing over Omar.
That's the best.
Stole your queen.
He did. He took our queen.
Shut up.
And he got her fat, too. That's what I never forgive him for. Oh, I'll get it. I'll get it. Down, tater tot. And Michael Richards continues his I'm Not a Racist tour.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if you caught it over the weekend, but he appeared on the Reverend Jesse Jackson radio show this weekend. The show's called Keep Hope Alive. And he apologized over and over and over again, saying that he's not a racist.
He said he's never used those words before.
Told Jackson he had never used that kind of language before. That's why I'm shattered by it.
What?
That's why I'm shocked.
The way this came through me like a freight train. After it was over, I went to look for them, but they had gone, and I tried to meet them to talk to them to get some healing. He said, but those dumb black bastards wouldn't talk to me.
I don't think he said that at all.
He didn't say that at all.
You know what? That just sounds like a total cop-out to me. I don't know what happened. It just came through me. It wasn't me. I don't think that way.
And we don't know if it's true, but someone did call in and say that they had heard him use that language before in a restaurant or something.
I think if I were him, I would stick with the I want to say something outrageous on stage, and I just went too far, and I didn't. I was just trying. I would stick with that.
I agree.
I don't know what happened, Jerry. I was channeling a racist.
Hey, you know, the one thing I haven't heard, the one angle of this story that I've not seen explored yet that I'm surprised by is the patrons in the comedy club, the black guys that he was yelling at, don't seem to be suing him for money yet in emotional distress.
No, they are asking for a personal apology, I heard.
Which is fine.
Which means they're not that hard to find, probably.
I'm surprised, though, in the age we live in, that they haven't somehow sued for cash yet.
I've sued. That's the weird thing.
Not that Mike Rogers has cash, but right. You know what I mean.
I'm sure he's got tons of cash.
Yeah.
From Seinfeld money? You kidding me?
Yeah, that's true.
But I'm surprised Jackson had him on his show, quite frankly.
Why?
Just because it seems like that would not please Jackson's audience, having this dude on.
Yeah.
I guess.
No,
he's
really.
Just one of those guys that if it involves race in any way, he's got to be involved.
But usually it's the other side. He's very rarely taking up the white man's challenge who comes at black people. He's usually not siding with those guys.
That's true.
Unless he wanted to have him on just so he could blast him and humiliate him further, maybe. I didn't hear the
interview.
By
all accounts, he gave him an opportunity to apologize and said, you know, let the healing begin, sort of. So,
hear what Michael Richards said as he left the interview, though.
I didn't hear it.
Inappropriate.
You know you're my nigga, right?
Oh.
And I appreciate everything you've done for me.
Come on.
He said that to Jesse Jackson?
Yeah.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthday is Robin Givens, who was on Head of the Class. That's where I first discovered her. And then Mike Tyson married her, and bad things happened.
Yeah.
She's 42 years old today. Michael Vartan, who played Michael on Alias. How lucky was he, huh, to play a character with the same name? Yeah. He's 38 years old today. And Jaleel White, you know him best as Steve Urkel from Family Matters. Jaleel turns 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What are you going to do when Santa comes by?
I'm going to say, what's up?
Missed the Hollywood Christmas parade this weekend. I can't wait to hear about it, though.
Yeah, I'll bring in highlights tomorrow. I didn't have time last night, but that is
fantastic.
That's the best parade ever.
Oh, so. Yeah.
It is that time of year where you start thinking about your Christmas shopping and your Christmas decorations. And I remember last year we found out that there was something new in Christmas trees. Last year, it seems like all the rage was the upside-down Christmas tree. And even our own producer, Lightning, was sucked into the upside-down Christmas tree. Remember, he ordered one.
Yeah, I guess you hang it from your roof, right, if I remember correctly?
From your ceiling, right.
Exactly. Right, okay.
This year, apparently, Kevin, black is the new green. And we got to find out what's up with the black Christmas trees. So Bill Quinn is on the line. He is the CEO of ChristmasTreeForMe.com. Bill, happy holidays. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Was it your company that we spoke with last year about the upside down tree, or are you not claiming that one?
I plead the fifth. Yes, it was.
It was him, yeah.
It was you.
Dude, what do you have against a good old-fashioned green tree?
Absolutely nothing. We sell more of those than anything else.
Then what's going on with you, Bill?
Well, last year, the upside-down Christmas tree was absolutely a surprise. This year, the black Christmas tree was very predictable because it was all the rage in Europe last year, particularly in London. And it's still the rage this year. If you go to Harrods, there'll be 10 of these black Christmas trees as elegant decor items.
Really?
Interesting. Now, of course, we've all seen colored Christmas trees. I mean, they were really popular in the 50s and 60s. A lot of people had silver trees. I've seen pink trees before. I don't think I've ever seen the black tree. How did it get started? Do you know?
Well, we've been selling black trees for a long time for Halloween. And, you know, it was very popular to get Halloween decorations, things of that nature. But last year, when the upside-down Christmas tree was happening here, I spoke to a lot of media people from the UK, and their question was, well, what about the black Christmas tree? I'm like, well, we sell them for Halloween. And I don't really know how it got started over there, but it's migrated over here in a big way.
Do you have to import them from Africa?
I wish I could import them.
I'm saying, where do they grow? I'm saying, where do you get them from?
They're not real trees, Kevin. They're manufactured.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Bill, this is a full-size tree, though, right? 7.5 feet, right?
Yes. We had them in 4.5, 6.5, 7.5.
What kind of decorations? Sounded like you were going to say something else. I apologize. What kind of decorations do you sell for those? How do you decorate those?
You'd look for silvers, golds, and crystals, and that makes a good contrast to the black. It creates a very elegant look.
Yeah, I imagine it's
I guess so.
It's pretty dramatic, actually.
It sounds like it would be pretty. I mean, I guess there are all kinds of people out there. There are some people who like the traditional tree, like the tree they had when they were little kids. And then there are other people, maybe, who are just looking for something different, something new, maybe something fun to kind of spice up the holidays. Now, how big, without, you don't have to get into numbers, Bill, but I mean, has this blown you away with how many you're selling this year?
Yes, absolutely it has. As far as I know, there are no more black Christmas trees for sale in the United States. They're all sold out.
Really?
I've gone to six different manufacturers. We had them custom imported because nobody that we knew had them, and then subsequently other people found out about it and they brought some in as well, but as far as I know, none of the online retailers have them anyway. There may be some retail shops that have them.
Do you still have them available?
I do not. We sold out our last one over the weekend and
Excellent.
Had to turn away about 60 people.
We're doing you a lot of good.
Yeah, this is good that you're promoting it. Well, we asked him. We asked Bill to come on and talk to us about the tread. Was our producer Lightning one of those people who bought one?
He was not. I tried to get him to look at one. I actually tried to get him to look at the other tree that's very hot, which is the bubble tree, which is a little bit calmer but very mesmerizing.
What's the bubble tree?
Well, the bubble tree, if you've seen a spiral tree, a spiral topiary, and usually there's a metal pole in the middle, they've replaced that with a clear plastic cylinder that you fill with water, and then it has LED lights and a bubble maker in it, so it looks like a lava lamp on the inside of your Christmas tree.
I can't believe for one second that our producer Lightning wasn't all over that.
It sounds like him.
Come on.
That's the ultimate in, hey, look at me, Bill. That's a tree that people will see from the street when they drive by your house.
Absolutely. It could cause accidents.
And he didn't buy one?
He didn't. I told him that we have a discount coupon for K-Rock LA.
He's fallen down on the job.
Yeah,
he's fallen down on the hey, look at me job.
Yeah, he's not the Lightning that we know and love.
Wow.
Bill, what do you do? I have to ask, and we only have a minute left here on the interview, but what do you do the rest of the year when it's not ChristmasTreeForMe.com time?
I look for the next major trend in the Christmas business. It takes about 9 months to try to figure out what could be hot in the next year. And we go to about 15 different shows in the U.S. and then go to two shows in China.
I got you. Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, you probably need to know by, February or something what you're going to be making for Christmas 2007 so you can get them into production, right?
You got it.
So for like 9 months, you just travel around and don't do anything except for pay attention? That's awesome.
We sell a lot of commercial stuff during the other 9 months.
Okay.
People that have, big things. But as far as the busy season, this is the busy season. This is the busiest day of the year.
That rules.
Well, this is what I like about the Kevin and Bean Show, Bill, and I'm sure you respect this as well, is that we bring the news to our listeners that the hottest tree in the world is the black Christmas tree, and then we follow that up with talking to you to find out that they're impossible to buy. So there you go. So now our listeners were so excited for 1 second, and now their hopes are dashed. Now their Christmas is ruined thanks to this interview.
They should look at the bubble tree.
Oh, absolutely. They should look at that. I may get the bubble tree. That's just
cool. I think you'd like the bubble tree. I think it'd look good in that studio.
That is nutty enough for us to actually buy.
The bubble tree sounds like it could work as a bong as well. It sounds like it's got enough bubbles, enough stuff going on. Wouldn't that be awesome? You could just smoke the tree after the holiday? Come on.
You just need a ladder and you're set.
All right. You
Only
can
check, Kevin and Bean.
Check out the bubble tree and you can see the black Christmas tree that you'll never own. Go to ChristmasTreeForMe.com. That's the website. Bill, I hope we do it again in a year. Thanks for coming on K-Rock today.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Be patient, please.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to change headphones. Okay.
That's weird. I thought you were going to walk out or something.
No, I put on the wrong headphones.
He has been here almost 2 hours. He's got to be exhausted.
It's time of year again, people, and
yes,
we could not be more excited. The
That's
only thing
what
we
I'm
get
talking about.
More emails about than acoustic Christmas tickets is Double December.
Here she comes, she's our Miss Double December.
Nice melon.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
Nice melons.
She's got big guns, baby, she's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my penis is hard.
And let's say good morning to the wonderful Yasmin.
Good morning.
Miss Double December
Yasmin.
2006.
What a do, guys.
Hey, sweetie.
I can't believe it's almost over for us, Yasmin. It's so sad to think that you won't be Miss Double December in a couple of weeks.
I know. Everyone keeps coming up to me saying, are you sad? I'm like, yeah, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, way to bring me down. Yeah, but you know what? Bean made a point earlier this morning that it's kind of like ex-presidents. Once you're the president, you're kind of always considered the president. Yeah. So, you know, you, like Christy and Melissa before her, all in the club.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we're all friends, and they're both really, I love them to death. They're both really cool.
Well, we've been very, very lucky throughout the years with the Miss Double Decembers we've chosen. I can never remember her name, but I really loved the Miss Double December that got pregnant and had to drop out. She was really one of my great favorites. Remember her?
Yes.
She was pregnant, I think, at the time, wasn't she?
I think she might have already been pregnant when the photos were taken. But I really, I liked her.
She celebrated and got pregnant.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe so. I liked her very much, and I'm sorry she hasn't stayed in touch. But here's the deal. Every year about this time, we go on the air and we say we need somebody to represent us for the upcoming calendar year as the representative of Kevin and Bean Show. Miss Double December is going to be, well, Yasmin, why don't you tell the kids what some of the benefits have been from your reign of the for the past 12 months?
Well, pretty much I go to all your guys' events. Mm-hmm. You know, I go on the air, I make appearances, and I get to go to all the concerts and pretty much everything related to Kevin and Bean, I go.
We're very aware that we're not lookers, so this is one of the...
You guys are lookers. What are you
doing? Oh, Yasmin, you don't have to keep doing that.
Yeah, you already had the job.
You already had the job, right.
I won last year. What am I doing?
Yeah, exactly. But we know when we go out places that the people need something to look at.
We need some eye candy.
Some eye candy.
Because it's not us.
Amazing enough. I don't even know why you have
them. Oh, no. Yasmin.
Look at that.
But you're even better.
You know, when you talk about going to the events, of course, you go to, when you're Miss Double December, you get to go to both nights of K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas. Right. You get to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast. You get to go to, you know, for instance, this year we did the party at the Playboy Mansion. All the Kevin and Bean singles parties you go to. Live broadcast when we do a Cinco de Mayo show or a St. Patrick's Day show or something like that. You're always included in those sorts of things. You basically just, you become a member of the family for a year, and then we cut you off, and then you're out.
I'm already old hat. I'm already the redheaded stepchild.
No, how dare you?
You're 18, you're out of foster care, and you're on your own.
Yeah, I'm on my own.
It's so funny,
my
yes.
My favorite part of the year was making out with Lisa May, I think. By the way,
that was
our favorite, too.
That was ours as well, yes.
That was everyone's favorite.
We had fun.
We need to make that one of the things that people agree to. I mean, we have to set that out ahead of time.
Well, no one said no yet. I think we're okay.
Right. I'm just saying we need to make sure that continues. That's all.
You know, it's funny because Yasmin came up to me at the CD signing or the calendar signing, whichever one recently, and she said, hey, do I get a vote on Miss Double December? Because I'm the one who has to make out with her when we transfer the title.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that's a really good point.
I forgot the title. It's in the spit of Miss Double December. And they
if
do
I'm
have
to make out with a girl in front of 50,000 people. I kind of want to, you know.
Okay.
That seems fair.
We're fine with that.
Now, here's what you do if you're interested in being Miss Double December, and I think it's obvious from the name what it is we're looking for from you, but you go to the Kevin and Bean section of krock.com. Although we do have to make a change on the website, Kevin. I don't know if you've been to it.
I haven't seen it yet or not.
Kevin and Bean's Miss Double December, please copy and paste the questions below with your answers into an email and send them to lightning@krock.com, mother effer.
That's bogus right there. That's not right.
What is up with that?
All of the other contests we make go to him, but this one I think we need to handle with kid gloves.
His screening process is flawed.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, yes. No kidding.
Mr. Hypercritical.
He's never seen boobs big enough, first of all.
You're right.
So he may not be the guy to judge.
I think we should change that to Kevin and Lisa and Bean and Ralph at krock.com.
Yes.
I agree. Right.
And then we'll forward to him whatever he needs to see.
And me too.
And you too, of course.
Okay.
So you send you know, your name and your age and your email and your phone numbers and all that kind of stuff, and then there's a little bit of a questionnaire so we get to know something about your personality. But basically, you have to be 21 and up, and you have to be double D or bigger, I guess, is what we're saying, right?
Right.
We are. I don't know how to say this in a nice way, so I'll just say it. We don't necessarily want a double D body supporting the double Ds. You know what I mean? Like, there's... Oh, never mind. You know what I mean.
We know what you mean.
Go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean page, and you can send in your pictures. I think we're going to do that for a week, right?
Yes.
That's right. And then we're going to put up the top 10 finalists, and then the K-Rock listeners will vote. And then if they choose the same one that we were going to choose anyway, then we'll go ahead and use your vote. If not, we'll just go to rule you.
So send them in now. Again, go to krock.com.
First, though, I didn't get a chance to see it yesterday. Apparently, the Raiders lost.
Oh, really? What a shock.
Raiders?
Again. In another spectacular fashion.
Yeah. Raiders?
Poor Raiders.
How many have they won now?
Two, I think.
I think they're 2-9. But the Raiders fans, the diehard Raiders fans, the silver and black will tell you it's still commitment to excellence. They'll still tell you that.
Well, Bean, I know you hate the Raiders. And I have good friends who are Raiders fans. So I've always kind of liked the Raiders. But yeah. Bean's always hated. And I knew you would love this. You didn't see it. But Oakland was ahead. Right. 14-7 when the most confusing play in the history of the NFL happened. And because you're not going to be able to see it, I'm just going to describe it for you quickly. And the receiver on fourth down catches the ball. He doesn't get touched, which in the NFL means he can jump up and run again.
Uh-huh.
Right. He thinks he's touched, so he jumps up thinking he got a first down, spikes the ball.
Oh, no.
So, and it's still a live ball.
Yeah, exactly. So then they had to figure out exactly what was going on, and it was 5 minutes of the most confusing football ever.
Rivers in the shotgun, fourth and two. He's only 10 for 26 in the game today. He looks, he throws over the middle, and what a catch over the middle by Vincent Jackson. And Jackson,
he wasn't touched down. And he threw the ball down.
Oh, my. And if that's the case, the Raiders have the ball. Jackson celebrating his catch and wasn't touched, according to the officials. And that'll be the Raiders' ball.
Jackson gets up, spins the ball. He's never touched.
Number 83 received the ball, was knocked down by contact, threw the ball forward. That is an illegal forward pass, which is declined, recovered by Oakland, first down.
Okay, now they're in San Diego, so the fans start booing because now the Raiders have the ball again, and their momentum is with them. They're 14-7 ahead at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So then they decide that they need to go back and look at it again.
Okay, he's up, he spins it.
It wasn't a legal forward pass. They had made the line of the game. It's a 5-yard penalty. San Diego retains possession.
Oh my! Oh. How about the twist on that?
So now the Raiders no longer have it, but the Chargers have it still. Right?
Illegal forward pass is a 5-yard penalty, played dead, so it isn't a fumble.
Well, there's a new one.
So now it's 5 yards back. It's
and now maybe we've got an alteration on that. No, obviously he didn't fumble. He threw the ball forward in his celebration of the catch and what he thought was a first down.
So let me ask you something. If the guy had come up facing towards the offense, so facing the other direction, and had spun it that way, it would have been a backwards pass, and that would have been a fumble, then it would be their ball.
Exactly.
So I don't care what the rule book says. That is a fumble.
Forward pass happened after he made the line to gain.
Okay.
However, if the 5-yard penalty takes the ball back behind the line to gain, the ball will be turned over on down. We're checking the yard stakes to check it out.
So now they have to check to see exactly where it happened because it was a forward pass and there's 5 yards back. And if it happened so that they didn't get a first down, it still was fourth down. So now the Raiders will still get the ball, right? So now they're excited again.
Now the ball's at 28 is where he gets up. That's where the pass was complete.
The 28 was passed forward.
And so it goes back to the 33. And where was the yardstick? They had to get to the...
No, the yardstick was all the way back here by about the 35, wasn't it, for a first down? So the ball would go from the 33 to the 38, so it would be, using that rationale or that logic, it would be the Raiders' ball.
No, it's the 28 back to the 33.
This went on. By the way, I edited this for time. It went on for like another 5 minutes where they're trying to figure out where they were, where the penalty happened. It was an illegal forward pass, but the guy said it was a fumble. It was crazy.
Wait, who's playing again? Hold on, I forgot.
Because he was down at the 28. That's where he threw the ball forward. 5-yard penalty from there.
But it would still be behind the stick because the stick's on about the 20 or the 32 and a half.
Well,
I don't know.
So this is the most complicated play of any season. It goes back.
After the enforcement, San Diego is still half a yard to gain. First down.
That was a lame move by Jackson. And that's nothing more than throwing the ball down in celebration. That isn't a pass. You can't call that a pass. That is indefensible. That's not a pass.
Well, according to our supervisor here, Jerry Seaman, a longtime outstanding referee, he said that he could have been all alone 50 yards downfield. It would have been the same. They would have called an illegal forward pass.
Yeah. Yeah, I could give you a couple other examples where they call that a fumble in the same situation.
All right, so what happened after all of that is San Diego kept the ball, and then they threw it to LaDainian Tomlinson, who's the running back, threw a pass into the end zone, and they won, and they tied, and then they went on and beat Oakland. It was the most bizarre thing.
And it's funny, as bad a luck as the Raiders have had this year, the Chargers have been the exact opposite. They are just, yes, like, everything has gone their way. I think they've come back like five games in a row. It's unbelievable. And Tomlinson's probably the best player in the NFL right
he
now,
is,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, you give the ball to him, you got a good chance to win anyway.
Here's my
question
after all of that, because I'm confused about one thing. The referee specialist, what was his name?
Well, according to our supervisor here, Jerry Seaman, a long time.
The guy's name is Jerry Seaman?
It is indeed.
Really?
Yay.
And he never changed it?
That sounds like a penalty.
Spectacular.
I want to go back to the controversial play.
No,
the ball was on the 44th and 2.
We don't
the
have
pass
fun.
Was complete and forward progress to the 27.
Right.
Number 83 received the ball, okay, which is declined. They had made the line of the game. It's a 5-yard penalty.
Mm-hmm. Jackson gets up, spins the ball.
Recovered right by Oakland. That is an illegal forward pass.
Now, wait a minute.
He wasn't to the down mark.
The ball will be turned over on down.
So now it's 5 yards back. It's
threw the ball forward.
What?
Was knocked down by contact. Mm-hmm.
Okay. He's up.
Recovered by Oakland.
Jackson gets up, spins the ball.
First down.
We got it.
Okay, I think I got it.
7:56, you're listening for Best of You by Foo Fighters. When you hear it, we call it 21 tickets for night number 2 of K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2006. No, they're not on sale yet. We'll let you know, but you can win them this morning on the Kevin Bean Show. Ralph, Rena Sofer coming up after the news.
Tell me about it. I was in love with her on Blind Justice. Remember, she was Ron Eldart's wife on that show?
Yes, Mike Darned.
She was great.
Well, I was in love with her on Melrose Place.
They had to blur out her breasts on Blind Justice. The pilot episode, they blurred out her chest.
That's
we thought because she was showing nipple, but it turned out she had a T-shirt that said "Sofa King, Sexy."
That's right.
Is that what it was?
Yes. And the standards and practices people thought "Sofa" and "King," when ran together, sound a little too close to something.
She is awesome, yet she's in a wheelchair, so she's creepy. So I don't know what to do with
creepy.
That.
No, it's creepy. She's excellent. Can't get away
what
from
to do
you.
With that, no.
It's perfect.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
And she finds out her old man's having an affair, and he tells a story in front of a reporter to cover it up, and she backs his play. That's a wife right
there.
She's
a good woman.
Good stuff.
All right, we'll talk to the great actress Rena Sofer after the news. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Speaking of football and television, if anyone knows where I can get a clip of Junior Seau's floppy arm.
Oh, man, did that look bad.
If that's on YouTube, give me a heads up. I'd like to take a look at that again, because I didn't sweat and retch enough watching it live.
That's one of those things you look and you go, I can't even look at that.
Oh, and he comes off wiping tears out of his eyes. When Junior Seau was crying, one of the toughest guys in football, you know that had to be.
That was rough.
Insanely painful. But another thing, first time I ever watched this particular channel watching football yesterday, because now that my Eagle season is over, I can relax and watch a lot of other games.
Yeah. Right.
And I've got the DirecTV, and I don't know if you've ever seen the Red Zone channel.
Love.
But
that.
The Red Zone channel is a channel that is like what you would do if you were really good with a remote control. And there's 8 games in the morning, and it just keeps cutting back and forth to the most interesting parts of those 8 games constantly.
Anytime a team gets within the 20 yards of the goal, they cut to that game. And
well, that's part of it. But if there's no one in a red zone, they will show you an interesting play or an interesting part of what's going on with the game. And then when someone does get into the red zone, they'll cut away to that. Then they'll go back to a game that's being a taut game
awesome.
That's going back and forth. It's the most remarkable, if you're a football fan, it's the most remarkable channel on television.
If you're a chick, you would hate it more than anything on the planet.
Could anything confuse me more?
You get to watch all the games at once. And this is my point. We need to talk to this guy who is the host of the channel. His name is Andrew Siciliano, and he is the best goddamn sports commentator in television.
You have to keep it all straight, right?
And I never knew this guy existed before, but he is doing color and commenting on 8 games at the same time. Now, wait. Because they can go back and forth through the games, there's no timeouts. Anytime someone calls a timeout, they go to another game, and there's no commercials. Anytime a commercial comes up, they go to another game. So this guy goes from kickoff in the first game Sunday morning until the very last play of the last of the morning games. He is talking for about 4 hours nonstop. I've never seen anything like the work that this guy does.
And it's not boring or repetitive. He's amazing.
Genius. He's genius. He's funny. He's informed. He's got everything right. John Madden can't get one through one play without screwing something up.
I wish
up.
John Madden would have to do that show
this
one week.
This guy does it for 4 hours. The more I kept watching, I started watching the games less and just listening to this guy work. He's a piece of genius, this guy.
Yes.
We got to talk to him. He's amazing.
Well, Producer Lightning, if you're listening, I know there's not much chance of that, but yes. Somebody email him and tell him we'd like to talk to this guy later in the week.
Andrew Siciliano is his name, and he's apparently an L.A. boy. He does the show here from Los Angeles, so absolutely, we got to talk to him. But I've been so impressed by this guy.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Very
no
impressive.
Kidding.
So.
At least I'll have you over to watch this.
Yeah, sure.
It's a good time. Greatest channel on television.
I would probably start crying.
Hot movies at the weekend's box office. Happy Feet, number one. Again, $37.9 million. It's only a couple million less than it made its opening weekend. It's just a monster, this
movie.
That
is crazy.
Casino Royale was number two at the box office with $31 million. Deja Vu was third. Deck the Halls was fourth. Then Borat, The Santa Claus, Stranger Than Fiction, Flushed Away, Bobby, and The Fountain, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office.
They got to be breathing a real sigh of relief over there with the James Bond movie. It's going to cross, $100 million here today or tomorrow or something in the U.S.?
Yeah.
I mean,
smash
it was a kind of a gamble restarting the franchise and bringing in a new dude and everything.
Well, everyone said that, and I was like, they've done it 6 times now.
That's true. Right.
And each time, it seems like the movies are more successful than the previous series. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was perhaps a gamble, but maybe the odds were a little better than people were trying to speculate. Everyone's like, oh, it could be the end of the franchise. Like, look, the franchise survived Timothy Dalton, for God's sakes. It'll certainly survive through Daniel Craig. Don't worry.
I didn't mean the change of actor as much as the restarting, you know, taking away the gadgets and things like that for the most part that people have come to know the Bond movies for and still making a real good movie. I'm just impressed with how they pulled it off.
They had a gadget. They had a defibrillator in the glove compartment.
Glove box. That's
I gotta get one of those for my car. It'd be awesome. Because next time I'm poisoned, I want to be able to start my heart.
Sure. You also need a girl to make it work.
Sure.
So you need that too.
Michael Richards continued his I Am Not a Racist tour over the weekend. He was on the Reverend Jesse Jackson's show. He has a radio show called Keep Hope Alive. It's syndicated. And Michael went on the show and said until he was 11 years old, all of his best friends were African Americans.
Is that right?
He said he grew up in a black neighborhood when he was a kid, and he said, until I was 11 years old, my best friends were all African-Americans, and then I grew up and realized how bad they were.
I don't think he said that part.
He said that?
No,
not
I
the
guess,
last
I
part.
Guess he didn't. No.
Stand with the Withers!
And Jesse asked him, well, what was that outburst about? He said, I need to drop down and get my thing together.
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I'm using it forever.
I need to drop down.
It's going to be my new catchphrase. Whenever things are going poorly, I'm saying, wow, I need to drop down and get my thing together.
Stand with the Withers!
I'm never going to stop saying it. Jesse Jackson then suggested Michael talk with a psychiatrist, and Richard said he has begun psychiatric counseling to learn how to manage his anger and understand why he made the racist remarks that he did. So, Mr. Richard, tell me, why did you want to stick a fork up the ass of that young man in the audience? I don't know, doctor. Congratulations to Seal and the lovely Heidi Klum. There you have another baby. Their second baby, a baby boy. They had it on Wednesday. The baby's name, Johan Riley Fyodor Taiwo Samuel.
Taiwo?
Taiwo.
Hey.
Fyodor, by the way.
That's pretty good,
well,
too.
A lot of Fyodors running around these days. But congratulations to Johan Riley Fyodor Taiwo.
That's spectacular.
That's a good-looking couple right there, Heidi Klum and Seal.
Yeah, half of it.
No, Seal's a good-looking guy.
Kind of sexy about him.
What? A good-looking guy.
Yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
He's kind of like manly.
Wait, are we talking
manly
about like someone took off his helmet and stepped on him with cleats?
Do I not understand who we're talking about?
No, we're talking
he's
about Seal.
Ugly,
are you
sexy.
Are you talking about a Seal?
No.
Like a Seal you see at a zoo?
I like them too, but...
Are you talking about the Seal?
There
I'm confused.
Sexy Seal?
No, because there's... a Seal are kind of cute. I guess you see a Seal. Catching fish is kind of cute.
I'm not the only one.
What I'm saying, guys, is that the thing that happened to his face happened because he got ill as a young man.
Right. I'm not saying it's his fault that he's ugly.
What I'm saying is he's not going to pass that down to his kid. Those are good genes to pass down to a kid. The kid's probably going to be a pretty good-looking kid with those.
Based on what?
Even based on the way dad looks, except for the thing that happened to him after he was born.
If you spackle in his face.
No, but that's not who
if you sand it down and put a fresh coat of paint on him, he's still not a good-looking dude.
I agree.
I don't think he's bad.
This is Gene Simmons.
Hey, Gene.
No, we're not.
Speaking of spackling the face.
Yes, Gene?
We can't continue.
Come on. What about Gene? And lastly, before I get to showbiz birthdays today, I got a bunch of emails over the weekend, and I wanted to give some people some information. Yes, it's true. The Best Buy, Porter Ranch, and Burbank are completely sold out of Kevin and Bean Super Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of them that are starting to be that way. You might want to call.
Our new Christmas CD, which went on sale last week, is selling briskly. So if you'd like to get yourself some copies for Christmas presents and the whatnot, you should probably get on it, because apparently stores are starting to sell out left and right, which is good news for us, but not so much for you if you haven't picked it up yet. So, you might want to call, as Kevin suggested. Call your local Best Buy. Before you go out to pick it up, because you may be disappointed if you get there, and they might be able to tell you where they still have some remaining.
Were they saying that Seal is good looking?
Yeah, I think so.
Isn't that insane? Is that not crazy?
Wow. I should have taken a 5-day weekend. Today's celebrity birthdays: James Avery, who played Uncle Phil in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Wonder if Will Smith still hangs out with James Avery these days. Think that happens?
Probably not, because he's in danger of being eaten.
That's right. He's 58 years old today. Robin Givens, who, of course, was married to Mike Tyson for years, as well as an actress in her own right, 42 years old today. Michael Vartan, who, of course, was Jennifer Garner's love interest on Alias, 38 years old today. And Jaleel White, my pal Urkel from Family Matters, turns 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
What about Heroes? Ralph, what about Heroes back with a new episode tonight? What about that?
Heroes is the best goddamn show on television this season. I am so wrapped up in this Heroes. I'll tell you, it is compelling stuff. The great characters, great storylines, a great concept that regular people are walking amongst us with these superpowers. And unlike a lot of shows that sort of rise and fall on their premise, you know, kind of the trick of it,
right.
I'm getting more and more involved with these characters because they keep expanding their storylines and expanding their characters. And one of these guys, Petrelli, is running for Congress. And we got to meet his wife in a recent episode. And she's played by none other than the lovely Rena Sofer.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Heidi Petrelli on the show, Rena Sofer in real life, and on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. Rena, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're not just saying it because you're on the phone, but Heroes has become our favorite show on the tube. You guys are doing great work over there.
Thank you so much. It's fun, isn't it? It's fun to watch.
Yeah, it really is.
That you're around.
It's way fun. And the thing that's awesome about it, and we've talked about this several times the last few weeks, is that unlike Lost, you actually do move the storyline along and actually do answer questions that are posed in a reasonable time period before we've had a chance to forget what the questions are.
Yeah. It's a completely different kind of show. And I think that the goal for Heroes is to kind of wrap it up and bring everybody together so that it's not such a disjointed show of different people's lives, but you're actually going to see goals being, happening.
Yeah, last week we saved the cheerleader and saved the world. That was good news.
It's a great catchphrase too, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Now, have you known for a long, long time that your character was going to be introduced this far into the season, or was this something that they kind of cooked up after the show had already been made and was on the air?
No, I knew coming in that I was going to be brought in a little bit later. They had talked about me possibly coming on and playing Greg Grunberg's wife.
Uh-huh.
And they were like, no, we're going to have you play Adrian Pazdar's wife, and it's a great story, and you'll see, and, you know, but we had to wait. And I was doing another show at the same time, so I just kind of, you know, patiently waited until they called me.
Yeah, you're too hot to be Grunberg's wife. That's the problem.
Uh-huh. Plus, you don't want to be an adulterous whore either.
Not acceptable.
So,
I think it's more interesting to be in the wheelchair anyway.
What do we know about Heidi? We don't know any backstory on how she got that way or anything like that yet, right?
No. That actually is what you'll find out tonight.
Ah.
The whole episode tonight revolves around 6 months before. It's all about all of these characters and what happened to them either before they discovered their powers or as they're discovering their powers. And it's very interesting because, you know, you get to see, you kind of saw it at the end of last week when you saw Hiro's character, pop back into the diner.
Right.
Right.
And it was 6 months earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So
that's right.
It kind of takes off from there.
That's the cool thing about this show is that it's not done cartoonish. I mean, it's like, what if really real people really did have powers?
Yeah, it's a comic book presence, but it's not a comic book type show at
right.
all. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
but
well
at
done.
At the same time, it still holds true to that kind of surreal feeling so that, you know, you're not sitting there going, well, no, that can't really happen.
Right.
You know, it kind of suspends reality just enough. The writers are unbelievable. I mean, they really are. They know exactly what's going on, and they know exactly what's happening in the future, and they really have a good handle on it. It's so much fun. Even the cast is so excited, you know, because they're so excited to see what happens week to week because they don't really know.
Sure.
The
sure.
only unbelievable part for me so far, Rena, has been the fact that you discover that your husband's having an affair with Ali Larder, had one in Vegas, in front of a reporter, and then you back his story. You cover for him right in front of that reporter.
I'm a politician's wife. What else am I
doing? Oh, you are the perfect woman.
She's Hillary.
Just tell me
She's
nothing
Hillary.
Happened. Nothing happened. All right, I believe you. Let's move on. Oh, you're the best.
Tell me the truth and I will believe you. And didn't you love how Adrian played that, where he didn't even have like a hesitation of, should I tell her, shouldn't I? He just
nope.
looked at me like, come on.
Yeah,
he's never do that. I love you.
He's the perfect politician. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's full on political mode, that's for sure.
But wait a minute, this guy is the guy who's running for office that can fly but doesn't want to tell anyone?
Exactly.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's more interested in power than he is his own personal.
No, but I'm saying, don't you say, hey, everybody, watch this. And then you fly,
no,
and then you say,
then you're a freak.
Vote for me.
Then you're a freak, and the government comes and takes you away, and the Haitian guy puts his hand over your face. You don't like that.
See, I think he's playing it really smart because he waits until he wins the election, and then he solidifies his hold on everything by flying.
That's right.
Oh,
so
by the way,
I'm super senator.
I can fly.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, let me ask you this. If you're just joining us, Rena Sofer's on the line. She is Heidi Petrelli on Heroes, new episode tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC. And maybe you can't answer this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Is the power that your husband, Nathan, on the show has, does that have something to do with why your character is in the wheelchair, or are they unrelated? Can you tell us that?
I don't know
so
what
yes.
I can tell you.
Well, just then tell us then, if you don't know.
I can only tell you that you will find out tonight.
Oh, okay. We'll find out tonight.
That's good enough.
Okay. That's fair enough. Okay.
And it
that's
will be
fine.
Shocking.
I know we're running a little bit out of time. I just want to make sure that I ask you a question about one of my favorite shows, which is 24, which you're going mm-hmm. to be on next year?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's
yes.
what I'm talking about.
See, I think every show should have Rena Sofer.
I agree. I totally agree.
It makes it so much easier
down.
To watch.
Yeah.
I got two down, and I'm working on the rest.
Oh, that's
and I was
know?
A big fan of
NBC, and I got Fox. I'm working on CBS and ABC right now.
That's true.
Well, I was a big fan of Blind Justice, too. I thought you were great on that show,
oh,
too, Rena.
Thank
you're
you.
Terrific.
I love that show, too. Thank you. Well, Marisol Nichols, who was on Blind Justice, is on 24 this season as well, so...
24, which comes back, I think, next year, right?
January.
Okay.
And let me tell you, for all the people who love 24, it will not disappoint. And for the people who have never watched it, it's the reason to start watching it this season.
There you go.
Awesome. Do you get to That's walk in 24?
Yes, I get
oh,
to
good.
Run.
Good,
actually,
good.
For
run.
My dear life.
Good. Excellent.
I don't want your legs to atrophy.
All right.
I'll come back and talk about that then, though.
Yeah, okay. No, we're going to hold you to that. We'd love to talk to you about 24 in January. New Heroes tonight, 9 o'clock, NBC Channel 4, Rena Sofer on the show. Thank you for joining us. We enjoy talking to you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye now.
We're coming off of the holiday weekend, and a lot of people this time of year especially have some real expectations for the holidays. Man, Thanksgiving is something that they know that's going to be a big, big deal. They're going to get together with lots of family members. A lot of people really look forward to that. It's, you know... It's a lot of fun for them.
Other people are afraid because you're getting together with a bunch of family members that don't necessarily get along or whatever, and it can go so wrong. And
True.
We find that so funny that we're going to ask for your stories of Thanksgiving weekends gone wrong at 1-800-520-1067. Bean's brother, maybe my favorite Thanksgiving story ever. Coming up a little bit later, but Omar's in the studio with us. And Omar, tell us about you and your mom.
Yeah, so a couple years ago, you know, I was like, I was talking to my mom. I was like, you know what, Mom? Every year I go to my girlfriend's family's house. This year, I'm going to go out with you. She doesn't really cook, so I was going to take her out to a nice dinner along with my brother.
Oh,
it's you
nice.
And me, Mom.
You and me, Mom. It's Thanksgiving Day. She's all like, well, I have to work. I'm like, what time do you get off? She's all, I get off at 4. I'll be home around 5.
Perfect.
I'm like, perfect, exactly. You know, so I'm waiting. 5 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, oh, man, maybe she missed the bus or something. You know, it's like 5:30. I'm like, dude, where's she at? You know, so 6 o'clock, I call her. she answers the phone, and I hear, like, stuff going on in the background, you know? Like, she's at a party. I'm like, Mom? She's like, hello? I'm like, weren't you supposed to meet me at 5? She's like, what? She totally freaking forgets about the dinner, oh, about everything, right? So I'm all like, you know, so... You know, and you know, so what do you want?
So she was at a party.
She was at a party. Yeah, she was at her friend's house. She's at a party. So check that. And I'm all like, well, do you want me to go, you know, like pick you up? She's like, well, I'm already here. I'm all, what?
Now, at this point, you can't really invite yourself over to the girlfriend's family anymore because that's done.
Absolutely not. Right. So I'm just like, okay, so I had a movie. I went to Jack in the Box, got some Jack in the Box, and I watched like Save the Last Dance on DVD.
Oh.
That was my freaking Thanksgiving.
Omar.
He was and stood up by his own mother on Thanksgiving.
Totally ditched.
That's Meanwhile, by the way, your girlfriend and her family, they're having all the fixings, right?
Yeah. Totally, dude. It's awesome at their house, you know?
You don't want to show up and go, my mom, she left me out.
No, dude, it was me and a jumbo jack, dude.
Oh, that's Thanksgiving right there.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
That's strong. Yeah. So we'll take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. Thanksgiving weekend's gone wrong, especially if it was this past Thanksgiving.
And, oh, that would be the best, yeah. And it doesn't necessarily have to be, like Omar's story, it can involve the traveling to get to Thanksgiving. It can involve, you know, if the paramedics had to come to the home where you were having Thanksgiving, that's always a good sign.
You get extra points for that?
Sure, yeah.
Drunken brawls, extra points.
Drunken brawls are fine. Yeah, we have had stories in the past of actual fistfights and things being thrown at the Thanksgiving dinner table, which is great. So there's a lot of ways it can go bad, and we want to hear about every single one of them. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls when we get back at the World Famous K-Rock.
After a long holiday like Thanksgiving, we always like to come back and take stories of Thanksgiving's gone wrong because, like Bean said before, there's a lot of pressure put on Thanksgiving. There's a lot of people that get together that aren't necessarily always together in their normal life.
Right.
And we're going to get some calls in 1 second. We want to start, though, with our assistant producer, Alex, who is in the studio with us. Alex, tell us about your Thanksgiving.
My aunt, who has a great sense of humor, wonderful, cool, hip lady, loves the nickname Super Whore.
She does, okay.
Yes, and decided to tell everyone at the Thanksgiving dinner table that my nickname on the Kevin and Bean Show is Whore, and for the Christmas TD, I'm Super Whore. My grandmother.
At the Thanksgiving table?
Oh, yeah, because she thinks it's funny.
She thinks it's funny, okay.
Right.
So grandma's there.
My grandmother's there. Not so much with the funny and the laughing. Very pissed, angry face.
Yeah.
Not happy, but then she decided to try to, like, rectify the situation, thinking she could change it and change our show.
Right.
So she, like, Super Flirt or Super Tart.
She somehow thinks alternate names.
Yeah, those are her suggestions?
Yeah, she thinks those are better.
Alex,
I'm not kidding.
If she's upset by your superhero name on the CD, imagine how she'd feel if she knew about the life that you're leading.
Oh, so sad.
Says if she knew that you earned every inch of Super
Whore. I know.
Wow, Grandma, that's not a good Thanksgiving
right there.
All right.
So we just got her drunk.
Let's take some calls. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to have to go pretty fast because we got some great calls. We want to get to as many as possible. Why don't we start with, let's start with Carlos in North Hills. We're talking about Thanksgiving's gone awry. Hey, Carlos, you're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. What happened when you took your girlfriend to meet your family for the first time this year, right?
Yeah. She's originally from Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And we had Thanksgiving at my mom's house, and we're a Mexican-American family. We have tequila shots after dinner.
Nice.
And she's trying to drink with us. She's trying to keep up with us. And at the end of the night, like around 9, family's still there. She starts throwing up everywhere.
No.
So this is the first time that she's met your family. Nice. Yeah.
Didn't make it to the bathroom?
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, she was just completely gone.
Dude, can you afford to marry a woman who can't keep up with the way you guys drink?
No.
Yeah. I think we'd have to reconsider the whole relationship, Carlos. Sorry, man.
I like that he didn't even question that for a second. No, I can't deal with that. Marnie, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good.
We're better than you.
Yeah, you're telling me. I'm actually still mentally scarred. I went to Northern California for Thanksgiving, and my dad whipped out the wine and the snake bites, and my sister was there with her husband, and they just got married actually a few months ago, and he ended up doing a strip dance in front of me, but she was so drunk, she passed out on the couch and didn't notice.
Well, that's good news, but what did the rest of the family think?
They were pretty drunk, too, and they just thought he was being weird.
Oh, so everybody was laughing like it was a joke, but you kind of felt like he was really hitting on you?
Well, yeah, I know he was, because he tried to put the moves on me the second I walked out of the room.
Nice.
Oh, fantastic. Creepy.
Good times right there.
Hey, you're hot!
Came up,
she peeked at it, ripped my shirt up in front of the whole family. This was around the dinner table.
She ripped your shirt off?
Up, okay. Above my boobs. So I'm standing there with my bra exposed in front of the whole family around the dinner table.
Nice.
I want to go to Thanksgiving at your house. What goes on?
I do too.
Oh, no, you don't. No. And then she smacks my tattoo as hard as she could, starts yelling at me, and storms out of the dining room. And I'm standing there with this awkward silence with my boobs exposed.
Nice.
Oh, that's fantastic.
25 people.
Did any of the 25 go? My God.
I know. We got some great ones.
We got to talk to Melissa because this,
okay,
this is one of the worst. Melissa, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Melissa.
What happened to you?
So, this Thanksgiving, we're all sitting around, family, you know, lots of love, food, deliciousness, all the good Thanksgiving stuff. Perfect day. I get a text message. It's from my husband's other wife telling me that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Hold on.
Thursday.
Hold on a sec.
Wait a minute.
Okay, your husband had a wife that you didn't know about?
Yes, that I just found out about, and I would have never found out if she had not text messaged me.
So he's married to both of you at the same time?
Yes, we've been married for 4 years. He's only been married to her for a few months, I think.
And she knew about you?
Yes.
Where does this other wife live?
I think she lives in Long Beach. I'm not
okay.
sure, but I think
she And how did she get your text message, your text email address?
Well, I'm guessing that she's been hanging around with my husband, so...
Yeah, wow.
So she wanted you to know about her, huh?
I guess so. So I'll be visiting the lawyer first thing this morning.
Wow.
Well, you're narrow-minded, first of all. I just don't think you should be jumping to conclusions here.
She could totally prosecute him.
You know,
he could go to jail.
Maybe we could have a...
Yes,
whole,
yes.
Yeah.
All we're saying is take a breath and consider the possibilities.
Oh, God.
Right.
That's all
hey,
we're
Melissa,
saying.
Melissa, how far into Thanksgiving dinner were you when you got this bad news?
We had just actually set the table, and we're getting ready to sit
excellent.
Down and
what were your first words? How did you say, hey, I just got a text? Is that what you said?
I said, what the hell is this?
Did he try to lie?
No, and not at all.
Wow.
Excellent.
Did you guys at least still go through with the meal?
Yes, we were very far away. There was no choice.
What a horrible
you were
meal.
With other people.
Did everybody else know what was going on or just you and he?
The adults knew. We kept it from the children because we have a small child.
Wow.
That's fantastic.
Oh my
That's
it's fantastic in an entertaining way. Your life can't be going well right now.
No, it's pretty terrible. I actually cannot believe this happened. It's like I made it up.
Well, we'll send you a T-shirt. That'll make everything better.
That's awesome. I don't even know how we could attempt to top that.
Well, we got to try, though, because Mike's wife is on the phone.
Oh, really?
Jenny.
Hey, Jenny.
Good morning.
What happened? Was it this Thanksgiving?
No, it was about, I think, two or three Thanksgivings ago.
Okay.
My cousin at the time had just... had a baby with this girl who apparently I went to high school with, but I didn't know her.
Right.
So I can't imagine she went that often. He's about 10 years older than me. So they come with the baby, and she arrived just totally soft, drunk off her butt.
Good.
So she didn't bring any formula, any diapers, any anything. The baby's hungry, so my cousin's like, hey, you know, you need to go get, we need to go get this. She's like, oh, I'll go get it, and tries to bring the baby to go get in her car.
Right.
My cousin's like, yeah, that's not a good idea. They start getting into it. He grabs the baby. They actually start scuffling with the baby in the hand.
Oh, no.
And then so my family goes out to try and save it because there's a baby involved. She starts cursing and calling my mom and my poor innocent little grandfather, every name in the book, everybody in the family. And then so, of course, my aunt grabs the baby. I grab it from her. We call the cops. Cops come. She starts still trying to fight with my cousin, starts beating up the cops and punching the cops, threatening to kill my cousin in front of the cops, and gets hauled away in the cop car.
That's what you want for Thanksgiving.
That's right? What Thanksgiving is all about, don't you think?
It's good family fun.
That's beautiful. Thank you for
that's
the call,
a beautiful
Jenny.
Story.
That isn't good for you.
All right.
No.
I know we're out of time, but you have to tell the best Thanksgiving story ever.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell it as quickly as I can, but it is an absolutely true story, and I know Kevin loves this. Is part of his holiday tradition.
He's
heard this story every year.
If I don't hear this story around Thanksgiving time, I really miss it.
one Thanksgiving many years ago at my parents' house in Maryland, my mom, my dad, my brother, and I are all there for Thanksgiving. And, you know, it's just a typical, regular, normal conversation Thanksgiving where you have the meal and you sit around and you have dessert. You watch a little bit of football. The hours, you know, turn, you know, gets to be 4 or 5 hours in. And my brother stands up, and I swear to God, this is true. He looks at his watch. He says, "Well, I better be hitting the road. My girlfriend's out waiting in the car. We're going to go off to another party now."
Oh, no.
So he made her sit in the car for four or five hours.
Yes, it was over 4 hours. He had this policy where he would never introduce any of the women he was dating to my parents because he just didn't want all those pesky questions. He's just as tired of them interfering. So he just wouldn't. That was the problem. So apparently they were going someplace else, like to her family. After he came to our family, they were going to go there. So he just left her in the car.
And she sat there and waited for 4 hours.
Yes. She sat there and waited for 4 hours. Yes.
That's exactly awesome.
Oh, my God.
That says Thanksgiving better than anything I know.
And when he finally did break down and propose marriage to her, what do you want to know? She said no.
Thank God.
How do you pass on a charm like that, huh?
Thank you, Lisa. I wish we were on the air. It's 8:56.
Is that what that means?
I don't know. There's a bright red light going on in here, and I think that's the we're not in the air signal.
Great.
Well, so say whatever you want, Ralph. I mean, you know.
Oh, really?
No,
sweet. Oh, we're on the air. Okay, good.
Okay.
Lightning's yelling at me in my ear.
And why is the big alarm going off and the big red light spinning?
Kind of going off and on for 5 minutes.
It has to be reset.
It has to be reset.
Why is he always angry?
Why is he screaming?
I don't know.
It's our fault. We didn't turn it on.
All right, 8:56 on the Kevin DeBeat Show Monday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what the hell is everybody talking about?
Well, they're probably talking about what movies they went to see over the long holiday weekend. Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Happy Feet, number one. People love them some dancing, singing penguins. That's all I know. Mm-hmm. $37.9 million it made this weekend. Made it number one by a long shot. Casino Royale was number two. With $31 million, Deja Vu was third, made $20.8 million. The new Denzel Washington thriller, Deck the Halls, was number four. Shame on you, people.
Deck the Halls.
We went to see Deck the Halls.
Yeah.
Borat was number five. The Santa Claus 3 was sixth. Stranger Than Fiction, Flushed Away, Bobby, and The Fountain, rounding out the top 10 of the box office this weekend. Very disappointed not to see Tenacious D in The Pick of Destiny on there.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
What is up with that?
A great, great film. I got a bunch of emails from listeners who went to check it out this weekend. I know Lisa went to see it as well over the long weekend. I forgot to talk about how wonderful Tim Robbins is in this movie.
Is he good?
Oh, so funny in this
movie. He is awesome.
You got to check it out. So you haven't seen it, Kevin?
He's a good actor. I haven't yet, no. I went out of town.
What's wrong with you?
I went out of town.
You know how many theaters where you went?
They didn't, actually, no.
Oh, where'd you go?
I went up to a lake up above, like,
where?
Fresno.
A lake in Fresno.
A lake above Fresno, like an hour and a half northeast of Fresno.
No theaters in Fresno,
no!
I guess. No theaters.
It was
theater.
A lake. We were at a...
It was like a mountain resort.
Yes.
All right. You say so.
What do you want me to do? Build one?
No, just get in your car and go see a movie. That's all right, I want you to do. Daniel Craig as James Bond, speaking of the Smash 007 film. Interesting story in Us Weekly magazine with some things that you didn't know about Daniel. First of all, he's a dad. He has a 14-year-old daughter from his first marriage at the age 23.
Oh.
Don't get married at 23, people.
Yeah, no kidding.
He dated Kate Moss back in 2004. I didn't know that either.
Really?
Good for you, Daniel. And also, he's a prude.
He's a prude.
Daniel says he doesn't see how sex adds to a character or plot, so he had a body double used in all of his more graphic sexual love scenes in Casino Royale.
What?
Ask for someone to stand in for him. It seemed like that would be the optimum reason to play 007.
Yes.
Would be to grapple with smoking hot chicks, and there were some smoking hot chicks in that movie.
So Eva Green, right? That's the accountant
played,
that he...
Vesper Lynn, yeah.
He had the opportunity to and didn't?
Apparently. Seems wrong, doesn't it?
On every level.
And the one that the arms dealer wife, too, that he was rolling her with after the first time in the casino. She was pretty
spectacular. Nothing wrong
there. So, there you go.
Well, why is he bad?
I don't know. If I had a clip right now...
It ain't natural!
If I had Tony Soprano saying, he's a fag, I would
play
that
now?
Right there. That's just me.
That's when you
because
would play
Because I do a radio show. I don't know about other people, but that's me. Usher!
He's a fag!
Timing.
Too late.
Timing.
Sorry.
Timing. Usher has just finished...
He's a fag!
No, Usher, I'm pretty sure, is...
He's not.
Not okay. A fag. Finished his Broadway run as Billy Flynn in the musical Chicago.
Mm-hmm. He's wrapped that up and looks like he's going to star in a new movie about the life story of James Brown, Godfather of Soul.
Wow, come on, kid myself.
So we have that to look forward to. But the real reason I tell this story is guess who took over for the role of Billy Flynn in Chicago after Usher left on Broadway?
David Hasselhoff.
Nope, not that good.
Oh.
That
would have
been a better story.
This
is pretty good, though. It's pretty good. It's up there.
I don't know.
Huey Lewis.
Oh. No.
Yeah.
Come on.
Lewis.
No.
Stepping in as Billy Flynn. Chicago.
No. No, no.
Good times right there.
Or not.
Jimmy Kimmel's buying his tickets now as we speak.
Yeah,
booking
no
his flight. Speaking of Jimmy, apparently Britney Spears not too pleased.
Uh-oh.
Jimmy apparently did a skit on the American Music Awards last Tuesday where he packed up a actor playing Kevin Federline into a crate and tossed it into the ocean. And then right after that skit aired, Britney Spears came on stage as a surprise presenter on the award show.
That's funny.
And she was upset at the timing of those two events.
That's the best timing possible.
It is. If you have a TV show, that's exactly what you want to happen.
You would think that Britney, of all people, would think that was funny, is to see Federline cast away.
She maybe did she it first.
Felt, maybe she just felt awkward about, you know, coming on stage or something.
That's exactly how she felt. In fact, her handlers apparently went to the show's producers and asked the skit to be pulled from the West Coast feed of the show, which was delayed, but the producers refused to do it.
Excellent.
So they would not bow down to the mega power of Britney Spears.
Good work, James.
You know, it's interesting that Britney did not find the comedy in that because you remember she's a big fan of comedians.
I just love funny people. Right? Funny people are great, you know, and so hilarious.
Right. Yes, they're funny and they're great and hilarious.
That's what's great about funny people is they're really hilarious.
Gossip columnist Janet Charlton says that Tom Cruise wore a girdle underneath his tux when he got married to Katie Holmes.
Awesome. That's the best rumor ever.
He gained so much weight before the wedding because he is what they call a nervous eater that he packed on the pounds before the wedding and in order to look good in the tux.
He's a...
Sorry. The folks at Armani made him a special girdle undergarment to wear under the tux so it would lie right and look good.
I hope that's true.
Really?
Yes. So, I love that story.
I love that story, too.
Also, the fact that Lindsay Lohan's a cutter.
Oh! Oh, what?
It's another rumor. A cutter.
She takes a razor blade to her forearms?
That's exactly what she does,
bummed?
Kevin, because she has some self-worth issues. Of course, this is just speculation, but there are pictures in Star Magazine this week that show her with no marks on her arm on November 14th, a photo taken on November 14th. Then a photo taken on November 15th, there are cuts all along her left wrist. Other actresses and famous people who have admitted to being cutters, Angelina Jolie, Fiona Apple, and Princess Diana have all admitted they did it one time in their lives.
That isn't good for you.
No, it's not. A representative for Lindsay told In Touch magazine that Lindsay fell in some bushes and scratched herself. That's where it came from.
Yes. Fell in some bushes.
Yes.
Okay, we're idiots. We'll take that.
Because she's often found traipsing through bushes.
That's right.
Really?
She's an environmentalist and sometimes will go commune with nature in the, in the parking lot of Hyde.
Bushes right. Everywhere around there.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthday is Robin Givens. You probably know her best as Mike Tyson's ex-wife, but she's an actress, too. She's been in some films.
Yes, she has.
Like Boomerang.
Name one of them.
Boomerang.
Boomerang.
With, Eddie Murphy.
Was she?
Okay.
Was
in that?
Yeah.
42 years old today. Michael Vartan, who played the guy on Alias.
Dave.
Mike.
Glick.
Was he Cooper? Anderson Cooper? Who was he on that show?
Anderson Cooper's a CNN guy.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Michael Vaughn.
Michael Vaughn. That's it.
See,
yes.
I said Mike. That was close.
And he was also very funny in the Wedding Crashers, too, Michael Vartan.
Sure.
Right?
No.
I don't think so.
That wasn't him?
I don't think he was very funny in that at all. No, Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper was in
Wedding Crashers.
So he was very funny. His friend was in the Wedding Crashers.
Another guy from Alias.
He was in Monster in Law.
He was in Monster in Law.
I wish we were off the air now.
I do, too. So does everyone who was listening, quite frankly.
Unbelievable.
Michael Vartan, very funny in Wedding Crashers at 38 years old today. And Jaleel White, who was very funny for many seasons on Family Matters as Urkel. Steve Urkel.
Yeah.
Steve Urkel.
Yep.
Is 30 years old today.
Mm-hmm. Do you get?
I do. Jaleel's a good guy. Nice man.
Nice man.
Good guy. Good sound. Are we still in the air?
I don't know.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys see the new Courtney Love book that's out?
No.
Ain't that about some BS?
What's it called?
I don't know. It's just her.
Oh, I thought it was a joke. I thought you,
it isn't. It's
just
like
setting you up.
It's her book. It's like just a bunch of scribblings that
it's
she
called If I Did It?
No, that's
about
a,
the death of Kurt Cobain?
That's a whole different thing.
Oh,
no,
okay.
It's like diary entries and pictures. It's kind of like the flip side of the Kurt Cobain book, but with nothing interesting in it.
Yeah,
it's just how much he wants to be a star. It's pretty lame. Not bad. Don't pick it up is what I'm saying.
Don't buy it.
Don't read that.
All right.
Time for Kevin and Bean's.
What do you do, nephew?
At 1-800-520-1067. You call, you get on the air, and you get a prize.
And two prizes for you today. It's a pair of tickets to the International Motorcycle Show at the Long Beach Convention Center, December 8th through the 10th. Thanks, Lightning, for hooking that up.
Woo!
Plus two tickets to see Warren Miller's Off the Grid. You know this Warren Miller guy? He makes like a new ski movie every 60 days.
His latest one is
called Off the Grid. But they are unbelievable if you've never seen one before. You'll have a good time if
He's great in Prison Break, too. Warren Miller.
That's not the same guy.
Jamie, good morning.
Hi, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
What it do, nephew?
What it do? Okay, so I work at the House of Blues on Sunset Strip.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, I do. And that Wednesday night, I thought, wow, I am going to have my Thanksgiving ruined by Kevin Federline because I cannot go camping with my family.
Wait a minute. That's a way better choice going to watch that train wreck.
I ended up getting 20 tickets. And while my coworker got 20 tickets and my other coworker got 40 tickets, every single person we called showed up. Each security guard, each got, I believe it was about 100 tickets each.
So basically they were giving away free tickets to everybody that works at the House of Blues so that it would look like it's full?
Well, we got what we requested, but they were handing them out at all the other shows, like, the previous week, and people on the street. So I think total, they printed about 2,500 tickets to just give away for free.
Awesome.
It's called papering the house in the business, just to load it up with bodies.
Did you go to the show, or you couldn't make it?
Oh, I so went. I rolled deep with my crew of 20 people, and some bozos in front of us while we were inside get into a huge fight, which I believe was Omar.
That would be Omar. Yeah, that's our own Omar. Yep.
This cup comes flying at my friend, land on my foot. I'm covered in water and beer or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to know.
Got pushed and stuff, and it was their fight, and it was hilarious. And
yes.
Some guy in front of us started peeing on the dance floor.
It's probably Dave.
Yeah, it could have been Dave. That's true.
That could have been,
It's his M.O.
Yeah, who I later found out was a friend of a friend. But nonetheless, it was a great time. Like, he got a lot of love because everyone was just like, you know, expecting this huge train wreck, but it ended up being just like a hilarious.
I heard people were hating because he stole our queen.
Oh, yeah. I just thought, oh, my gosh. It was going well until he started talking.
That is what he says, It was? Yeah. It was even going well before he started talking?
Yeah, it was going well. Like, he played two or three songs, and then he started talking, and everyone was like, shut up, boo. And then they got into a fight, and then the guy got kicked out for peeing, and then he played, like, two more songs, had some breakdancers, and 33 minutes later, it was over.
Yeah. Wow. 33 minutes after being a two-hour wait. Nice.
Yes, and you know, I didn't even expect him to show up because his sound check, he didn't show up, and then he finally did, like, after 7 o'clock.
Well, you can't have a big talent like that and expect him to do sound check.
He's like Prince. He shows up whenever he feels like it.
That's right, crazy.
Exactly. He's an artist.
Well, sorry about Omar. We apologize for that.
That sounds like a heck of a night. How does Kevin Federline reconcile what's happening to him in his mind? Or is he still clueless and still thinks he's the bomb?
Totally.
Yeah, he does.
You know he thinks
But he has to look at these shows being canceled and the fact that he's not selling any records, and he has to realize that people think he's a douche.
They're all
people
hating
just
him.
Don't get it. They're hating on him.
They're all hating.
He's the Armenian comedian of rap.
Totally. That's true.
Total confidence, zero talent.
John, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What it do, nephew? What it do, Lisa Mang?
What it do, John?
Hey, listen, I'm telling you, I have the best event of the year. Better than UFC.
Okay.
Better than any boxing match. It is the Raider Charger game.
Oh, always. Yeah, each year that's a good fight.
Big rivalry,
Which was yesterday, and I'm a season ticket holder. I actually saw, for the first time, I think, ever, a flying Mexican.
Is that right?
There was an Hispanic male that decided to start chanting, F the Chargers, F the Chargers. And one brave Charger fan that stood up and said, F you. The guy took a drunk swing, and next thing you know, the guy's nose is being pounded on, and he gets picked up by the Charger fan and thrown down six rows of chairs.
All right, John, hold on a sec. I want to make sure I understand. You're telling me that there was a Raiders football game and a fight broke out in the audience?
Exactly. It was unbelievable.
Shocking.
That's ridiculous. I don't believe your story at all. Thank you for calling. like people would fight at that game.
There's no fighting. It's only gunplay and knifings.
Right.
No fighting.
Corey, good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do, Corey?
Hey, I just want to say I love you guys and I hate you guys at the same time. Last Monday morning, I was driving on the 60 freeway laughing my head off because you were talking to that Arabic porn producer. Leaned my head back and wiped my tears of laughter out of my face and slammed my little Ford Ranger into the back of a Lexus and totaled it.
Oh, you got in an accident?
Yeah, totaled my truck. So I'm probably going to get a check for $5,000 for the worth of that crap truck.
Oh, excellent. My God.
Sorry, man. You need to have better taste in your listening.
Yeah, I'm going to change stations.
You know what? Listen to Seacrest. You'll never laugh listening to that show. You'll be much safer.
Hey, Ralph, didn't you order one of those movies from the Muslim porn series that's out now? I can't remember which one you were excited about.
I did. I got a Rocky Bukkake.
That's right. That was the
number, volume 6.
No, I can't wait. Yeah.
Mike.
Comes out this week.
Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin Amin Show. What it do, nephew?
What it do, baby boo?
Hey, Mike.
We mentioned earlier this morning that Miss Double December is kicking off again today, and you can go to the K-Rock website, the Kevin Amin page, if you would like to enter the contest.
Mm-hmm.
And we also mentioned...
I'd like to enter Miss Double December.
I think that's why Mike's calling.
We also mentioned that a previous Kevin Amin Miss Double December was pregnant, I believe, at the time we chose her.
Shortly thereafter, if not immediately.
And Mike, what are you calling to say?
Well, I'm just kind of calling to defend Veronica.
Okay. Oh, that's right. That
Veronica, okay, good.
Man, let me tell you, if you guys thought she was hot before the kid, Jesus, she's hot now.
And you know this because, is it your baby?
Well, No.
She your baby's mama?
I dated her like a year before the baby. But we're still cool, we talk all the time.
Mm-hmm.
That broke my heart.
Hey, look, we have no doubt that she was hot before and after. It was the fact that she was giant and pregnant during her reign that bugged
really
us the most, really.
Use her the way
and
we had hoped.
About her getting pregnant.
Yeah. It cuts down on the availability of her.
And the hot factor,
for
really. Miss Double-Zero walking around with a big belly under her sash with a baby in it.
Veronica, though, one of my all-time favorites in the Miss Double Decembers. What a beautiful girl. What a sweet girl, too.
What a miserable bitch.
Oh, wow. Where's that coming from?
To one event and decided to railroad me, took me in the corner, her and her friend.
Oh, they did make fun of you quite a bit. Right? Yeah.
They made fun of you. We're fans of hers.
Wasn't her friend Crunchy Hair?
Yeah, Crunchy Hair with her exposed thong. I bet you think you're all that, don't you? Yeah, you look at you with your crazy hair.
I'll never have sex with you.
All right, listen.
I didn't know that. Her and her cavities and her dumb hair.
We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We're running late, though, but we do have to fit in Dewan. Good morning.
Dewan.
Hey,
Dewan!
Hi, Dewan.
How you doing, buddy? What's going on?
Yeah, last Sunday is my lucky day. I finally got my Nintendo Wii.
You got the Nintendo Wii?
Good for you.
Congratulations.
Okay. Those are awesome, right?
What game did you play on it?
I got Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess, and the Wii Sports come with the game.
Is that right? And?
So, great. The Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess is like a real movie, but... it's rated teen for teen. That game is better than other Zelda games.
Okay.
So you're giving it a positive review.
A review?
Yes. A review.
Thumbs up.
So, Dewan, this is a big thrill for you, someone who loves the movies so much. Now you can feel like you're actually in a movie.
Yep.
Dewan, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was wonderful, but it sucks. I have to work on Thanksgiving the evening.
You have to work at the theater on that big
movie night. Yeah, I guess.
Wow.
So they want me to work.
Sure. Well, they got to bring in the big guns on that night, man.
Yeah, they can't. They got big business. They need the best employees.
Sold out like the James Bond movie.
Sold out. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, great.
All right. How about Happy Feet? Was Happy Feet sold out?
I don't think so. We don't have Happy Feet in our theater.
All right. Oh, then your theater is good.
Yes. How's your Thanksgiving, dude?
Fantastic.
It was great. I ate a lot of turkey and a lot of pie. It was very good.
Oh, okay.
Dewan, we found out when we came in today that Dave, the King of Mexico, went to, I think it was Burger King or McDonald's. I can't remember which.
Because
he doesn't like any of the food for Thanksgiving. None of it.
Why?
I don't know. He's an idiot.
What's wrong with him?
None of the food. It's not like he can just eat a couple of things. He doesn't eat anything, and then he goes out for fast food.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah,
it sure does.
Why don't you just try In-N-Out Burger?
In-N-Out is a much better choice.
You're right.
All right. Listen, Dewan, we got to run, but call anytime. We love you.
Later.
All right, bye now.
All right.
All right, Dewan. Good man. Good sound. All right. KRQFM passing Los Angeles, 10 o'clock. I want to thank our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including Bill Quinn. He is the CEO of Christmas Tree for Me. Got a very funny email, Ralph. What? What's so funny?
Just that name is retarded as he is.
Yeah, Christmas Tree for Me. Got a very funny email
for me
from somebody who said that we're torturing the Raiders fans. Like, the game yesterday wasn't bad enough. Then we go on and say, hey, you can buy a black Christmas tree that you can decorate with silver decorations.
Sure.
We get them all hopped up and excited, and then we tell them, but you can't buy them. They're sold out. They're completely sold out everywhere. But they do have the bong tree if you want to go to Christmas Tree.
Bubble tree.
Same thing. Also, thanks to the lovely actress Rena Sofer. So sad about the accident, the wheelchair and all. But she'll be on Heroes again tonight with a new episode tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC.
Tomorrow morning, an all-new show. Kevin Smith in our studios talking about his new DVD.
Great.
Evening with Kevin Smith 2, Evening Harder. Incubus has a new CD out. We have Brandon and Mike from the band in the studio tomorrow. We're going to, I believe, we're going to do the iPod police.
Just let that lie. Just let that one go. Four weeks now.
Yeah. Someone needs to just tell Mike we're not going to play his iPod.
We're going to do it tomorrow.
We can't crush his fragile psyche like that.
And we have to pretend.
Oh, yeah, no, tomorrow we'll do it, buddy. Don't you worry.
And highlights of the fantastic, fabulous Hollywood Christmas parade tomorrow. Best parade in the world.
I just hope the Tom kids were in it. I hope Heather Tom and her acting siblings were in it. Because they apparently are in it every year. The Tom family gets their own convertible.
And that's the only place you ever see them all year long.
I have no idea who Heather Tom is or all the other Toms who are acting Toms, but apparently they're very popular with the Chamber of Commerce.
They have a permanent car.
Yes, they do.
In the parade.
Hey, it's the Tom family. Heather Tom and her acting brother, Tom Tom.
How sad is it, by the way, that they had the same Grand Marshal 2 years in a row, Ralph, because they couldn't find anyone other than George Lopez to do it?
Oh, yeah. George, we hardly knew ye.
Highlights tomorrow.
Tony Danza was busy.
Cad Corbett's up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop. K-Rock, new music from Muse is called Starlight. That'll be part of it. Also, Audioslave, AFI, Weezer, Pennywise, and more right after this on the world-famous K-Rock.